Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipments, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Always been intact. Immediately after the shooting, she was following commands, holding up fingers as instructed, so she was always able to understand. This expressive part has been the difficulty.
Al-Qaeda's new boss is Ayman al-Zawahiri. He had been the number two man behind Osama bin Laden. The announcement was posted on several jihadist websites. A radical Islamic cleric in Indonesia was convicted of helping terrorists. CNN's Kathy Kihano reports on the trial in Jakarta.
There were about 500 of Abu Bakar Bashir supporters who were outside on the courtyard on the ground listening to the proceedings, sometimes yelling and chanting, reacting to what the judges were reading. The verdict was quite lengthy, but in the end, a panel of five judges convicted Abu Bakar Bashir and sentenced him to 15 years in jail.
The Boston Bruins are Stanley Cup champs after a 4-0 win over the Canucks, but the loss didn't sit well with fans in Vancouver who started a riot. They used metal debris to break out windows and then set some fires. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Have gas prices gotten so high that you're actually considering buying a moped? You need to get to Advance Auto Parts at once for some incredible savings. A 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil with filter is now just $17.99. Find a better price and Advance will match it. See store for details. It's all you need for a complete Castrol oil change at the ridiculous price of just $17.99. Well, not as ridiculous as a moped. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Where's my PC desktop?
It's on my desk, of course.
It's also on my smartphone.
My laptop.
My notebook. As the engines of a smarter planet,
we mid-sized businesses need to be able to work anytime, anywhere.
Wherever I go, my desktop goes with me.
Unless I'd prefer that it didn't.
Like when I'm fishing or something.
The IBM Virtual Desktop for smart business. Designed to reduce desktop management costs. Starting at $12.50 per user per month. Learn more at ibm.com/engines/desktop. Price is subject to change without notice.
The number of people affected by the big Citigroup data breach we've been telling you about is growing. A week ago, the company disclosed that information on more than 200,000 CityCard customers was accessed back in May. Now the company says it's more like 360,000 people. That's according to a statement sent to customers late last night. As talk of how to slice our federal government's budget centers more and more on how the Pentagon can save money, defense contractors are turning more of their marketing muscle overseas. Los Angeles Times reports U.S. arms makers are on their way to a record year for sales to foreign nations. Overseas governments are on pace to spend $46 billion on U.S. military equipment this year. That would be a 50% jump from what they spent last year. Yesterday's tough Wall Street day spilled into Asian trading. Japan's Nikkei tumbled 1.5% today. European markets also down. S&P futures losing 1%. NASDAQ futures, though, rising 2%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Have gas prices gotten so high that you're actually considering buying a moped? you need to get to Advance Auto Parts at once for some incredible savings. A 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil with filter is now just $17.99. Find a better price and Advance will match it. See store for details. It's all you need for a complete Castrol oil change at the ridiculous price of just $17.99. Well, not as ridiculous as a moped. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Hi, Tom Baudet. I prefer a road trip to air travel any old day. I don't have to walk through a man-sized microwave in my socks. I always get the window, and no little seatbelt sign controls my bathroom brakes. Best part? I get to stop at Motel 6. Still the best value for a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. Book online at motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How's it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's always time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano, but being that it is our first shift of the morning, good morning to all of you. A pleasure to be with you on this glorious, although a bit soggy, Thursday morning. And just a thrill. We've got a lot to get to today. As we work our way throughout the day today, you're going to understand that there really is no lack of things to talk about. And I got to tell you, you may find yourself offended and amused all at the same time. A quick shout out to all my friends that are heading out to the Netroots Nation in Minnesota this weekend. A, I am jealous. B, I kind of feel like the kid that, you know, all of his friends are going to camp but you, and you got to stay home because, you know, you got in trouble or something. Next year, though, I will go. The Netroots Nation is an awesome experience, and as my buddy Pam in Wyandotte said this morning, as she was not sleeping, because I guess she's getting ready to leave for Minnesota, next year she's forcing me to go, and I'll be on Radio Row. And that's fine with me. Been to Netroots Nation. It's great. It's great. So we'll talk about that a little bit more today as we have time. I want to remind you, 888-552-3595 is the number to connect with us, and you're welcome to join us at any time, 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. And, of course, you're going to find us on Facebook at First Shift. And our poll question of the day surrounds something we're going to get to much later on in the show today, but we will get to it. Brian Dickerson from the Detroit Free Press will be joining us. As I'm sure most of you are aware by now, Dave Bing seems to have himself in a bit of trouble. Story broke over the last couple of days that a former aide to the mayor is claiming that he tried to have himself appointed not only the emergency financial manager of Detroit, if it had to go there, but also the emergency financial manager of the Detroit Public Schools, therefore rendering him king of Detroit, czar of all things, and of course, you know, we can assume what he would have done with city council and the school board. What the hell is going on? Do we have another situation? Our poll question of the day. Mayor Bing seems to be sliding deeper into controversy. Detroit once again is seemingly being led by a dishonest, power-hungry leader. Can Detroit really be saved? Is this savable? Will they ever find somebody that will just do this? Can Detroit be saved? There's your Facebook First Shift poll question of the day. All right. Disappointingly, Mr. Radford, disappointingly. Actually, we're going to have a lot of disappointment in this hour, and it's just kind of the way it is. But, my Tigers lost. See, I said my Tigers. My Tigers lost last night in a poorly pitched game, although they certainly had, you know, opportunities offensively that they didn't capitalize on. I know they're not going to win them all. We're tied for first place again. I guess it's a wash at this point, but it is what it is, buddy.
Yeah, talk about a poorly pitched game. Yeah, I was just going over it with it. You know, of course, we got some guests in the studio. Fausto Carmona is garbage, and so is most of the Cleveland Indians team. They have one hitter better than 280. And Carmona, who started the game for them, nearly pitches, nearly has a 6 ERA. To lose a game like that yesterday is just so disappointing.
It is disappointing. Even in the first inning, although we were up 3-0, we could have really blown it open. And what was amazing about the first inning, Jeff, is we didn't get a single hit until after there were two outs. In fact, Carmona had only had 6 pitches to get two outs, and then we had, I believe it was a home run, an error, a trip or a double, and then there was a single, you know, and all of a sudden it looked like we were going to blow it wide open. You know, 3 runs was a good start, and it gave, you know, Brad Penny a nice beginning, but it didn't pan out the way we needed it to.
Well, today's another day, I guess. Scherzer on the mound should be able to close it out. Just get 2 out of 3.
So, very briefly, I wanted to share with you some quotes that I was able to gather from some national sports writers on JV, Justin Verlander. And because I thought you would appreciate these. Dave Schoenfeld from ESPN says, Justin Verlander didn't get a second no-hitter of 2011 on Tuesday night, but he did throw what might have been his most dominant game of the season. Using the Bill James game score, which I was not familiar with before reading this quote, which grades on a start of 0 to 100 scale, Verlander scored a 95, the best of the season. Al Yellen from SB Nation, Justin Verlander has thrown 2 no-hitters in his career, and there is no doubt in my mind that he'll throw a third, maybe a fourth, and a fifth, or even more. He's that good. Craig Calcaterra from NBC Sports, it often seems that the game Justin Verlander is playing is unfairly easy when everyone else is playing it's so damn hard. Dave Hogg from Fox Sports Detroit, Verlander has the best stamina in baseball, one of the best pitches is his fastball, and one of the best arsenals. He also has one other thing, unlimited self-confidence. And finally, one of my favorite sports writers, John Paul Morosi, who I believe used to be with the Detroit Free Press, or News, one or the other. Anyway, he said, Verlander, quote, is absolutely positively the alpha male in this year's AL Central race. So just wanted to share some of those with you, Jeff. And certainly we can feel very good about Justin Verlander and the stud that he is.
Yeah, but at the same time, I almost caution. I mean, a month ago, seriously, Tony, a month ago, people were actually questioning if he was an ace. He's good, but is he really ace worthy? And now all of a sudden, second best pitcher in the league, must see TV every time he pitches. Boy, I think he's going to be the next Nolan Ryan. And it's like, he hasn't won. I mean, I don't want to knock the guy at all, but no Cy Young yet. No accolades outside of, Tiger's great pitcher. I want to see him do that, but I really caution about getting too high and too low on this guy. I think he's very, very good. Top 10, maybe 5 pitcher, but man, I don't want to go quite, I don't want to put the pressure on him of being him and Roy Halladay and no one else.
Well, you know, and I guess maybe I'm going to put your ego in check a little bit, Mr. Radford. I don't think Justin Verlander needs your seal of approval, and I don't think you're going to put any pressure on him, anything more than he would put on himself. He's a competitor. At the end of the day, he is one intense competitor, and you and I have been around enough athletes to know when there's a gamer. This guy's a gamer. Is he one of the best in the game? Absolutely. Should he have a Cy Young already? I believe he should. Some of this, of course, has to do with the team he's been on, which haven't always been that great. I think Justin Verlander deserves a Cy Young. Absolutely.
Well, let's hope he gets it this year, because he's getting a lot of pub, a lot of press, and a lot of attention.
All right. Well, let's go get to the phones real quickly. We do have a lot to get to today, and I'll set up the show on the other side of the break. Again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome David in Farmington Hills back to First Shift. David, a pleasure to have you on this morning. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Once again, the lack of democracy. It seems the state governor was trying to set up a little deal and make Dave Bing a financial manager.
Well, you know, we're gonna talk about this later on, David. But I'm a little bit stunned by this whole how this whole thing is coming down. It doesn't look good for the mayor at all.
Right. And what cracked me up about this is the mayor's office is his only statement was the gal's statements was self-serving, translated. Everything she said was true, and we don't like it.
Yeah, David, was, go ahead.
No, I was saying there was no denial. There was no, she misunderstood, nothing, just, well, she's being self-serving.
No, you're right, and it'll be interesting to see, and thank you for your call, David. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out, because at the end of the day, when you really stop and think about what's happened here, we know, as we had somebody on, you know what, Radford, we did have somebody on from AFSCME. We absolutely did when we were talking about the collective bargaining between the mayor. We were talking before the show. Jeff was going, didn't we have them on before? Yeah, we did. Anyway, we know that the mayor has been trying to negotiate with the city unions via the media. That never serves a discussion well. That's not the way you communicate in business. Dave Bing knows better than that. He's supposedly a businessman. But if this all ends up being true, and we're going to, again, talk to Brian Dickerson later on in the show today, if this ends up being true, although certainly no laws were broken, at least none that I can think of, it really does make you wonder what team he's playing for. Because this is just beyond odd politics. This is about control. This is about really a mindset. This is about a mindset. And again, you wonder, you know, he and Snyder are not too far apart, you know, from a business sense. Both, you know, former CEOs, both think they know better than everybody else how to do it. Both trying to run the city, or the state like a quote unquote business. And both of them failing in pretty profound ways. Now, the one thing that hasn't happened to the governor that has happened to the mayor, and then we're going to let this go for a while because I got to share something wild with you about where the governor's kids go to school. But what you're going to find out, folks, very clearly, is that there's something more going on than meets the eye, and it smells really bad. All right, when we continue, we will have some audio to share with you. On Green Hills School, which is a private school that could teach us all a lot of lessons about maybe where the governor's real agenda lies with education. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break here on First Shift. You'll stay where you're at. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update is brought to you by McDonald's. Heading out on M59, if that's part of your route, you're going to find we are down to just two lanes with construction. So as you head eastbound in Updike to 75, only two lanes open there. Westbound, it starts about Crooks coming in towards 75. Construction on 75-59, the ramps from one freeway to the other. Right now, we're not seeing delays through there, but before too long, we'll start to see some backups.
Stop by McDonald's today and try a cool and creamy premium roast iced coffee starting at just $1.19. Available in hazelnut, vanilla, and sugar-free vanilla. Try your favorite premium roast iced coffee flavor today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain likely throughout the day, our high near 75. Tonight, a chance of showers, a low near 61. Tomorrow, we may see some fog and then some sun and a high near 80. Right now, we do have a little bit of mist at Metro Airport and 62 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Buying the right used car is an easy play with the Carfax Vehicle History Report. See accidents and service reported to Carfax, plus a price based on the vehicle's history. It's free at dealers nationwide. Just say, show me the Carfax, or visit Carfax.com.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
This week for Father's Day, nothing will put a smile on Dad's face like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift card for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there. Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice. Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid radio show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid radio show is for you.
The My Great Kid radio show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. They participate in McDonald's.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Todd the Bod Cherkinsky, intern extraordinaire, on vacation the next couple of days. My dear son Dominic, who, if you'll recall, just graduated high school, just had a birthday, and thanks to those of you that sent good wishes to him, is filling in. Dom, are you ready for this adventure that we call radio?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, you sound awake, and that's a good thing. And, you've got Big K Quan Bradley in studio with you, so... is he already trying to take over the show? What's going on in there?
No, not quite yet.
All right. Well, thanks for helping out. And, you know, I appreciate it. And have fun.
Anytime.
All right. Anytime, yeah. Until I ask him the next time. Oh, no, that's kind of early, Dad. Nah, Dom wouldn't do that to me. Dom's a great kid. All right, Radford, here we go. You know, we I sent you a little video yesterday that I found online. Green Hills School, which is a private school in Washtenaw County. And it just so happens that the governor, one of the governor's children goes to school there. What I found interesting about the video wasn't that they were looking to raise funds, because, you know, Jeff, a lot of schools are looking to raise funds, especially since the governor and the Republican legislature decided to slash school funding. And just so people have a frame of reference, the average school gets anywhere from about $8,000 to $11,000 or $12,000 per pupil per year, public school, to educate your child. Jeff, how much does it cost to go to Green Hills? Do you remember? Was it what, $20,000?
I think they said just under $20,000.
Just under $20,000. And they're needing to raise money, right?
They were looking for donations upwards of 10 grand or anything you can give.
Anything you can give. So if I recall correctly, this video also tells us how wonderful this school is, right? It's a fundraising video is what it is.
It's a 3 or 4 minute long infomercial about A, needing money, and B, how smaller class sizes and everything that... everything that basically when the budget came out told us is not important.
Okay, so... just so I understand this correctly, in the public schools, Jeff, the governor has told us that it's really not about the money, and it's not about class size. It's about teacher tenure, because that's supposed to somehow revolutionize education in the state of Michigan. and that they really don't need more money. They need reform. That's how we understand this, right? It's not about the money. It's about reform.
They have plenty of money. I mean, Detroit Public Schools has just tons of money. It's just that they're not spending it right.
Okay, all right. And not just the Detroit Public Schools, all public schools, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I want to be clear. So all schools have more than enough money, and it's a shame, Jeff, they've had to lay off people like teachers and, you know, support staff and custodians. It's all right that they had to do that. But at Green Hills, where it costs just about $20,000 to go to school there, plus, you know, you're expected to donate money, they have what? They have small class sizes. Well, you know, let's listen to some of this video. Go ahead and play whatever you got there, Jeff.
Green Hills School is our biggest fundraiser. We ask every family to participate. The money for the annual fund goes directly towards supporting the operating costs of the school.
That means it pays for things like repairs, electricity, and heat.
You mean they want heat?
Tuition alone does not cover the cost of Green Hills education. Most people think that since they already pay tuition, they do not need to donate money. This is not the case.
It costs an average of $20,000 a year to educate a student at Green Hills.
This is more than the tuition you pay.
Really? I didn't realize that.
So we need you to make up the difference.
We ask each family to give what they can.
Some families give $10,000, some give $500, and some give $50.
It's not how much you give, it's that you participate.
You make a difference.
I do? Really?
Yes, you do.
Now sit back and listen to what makes Green Hills a great place to learn.
Wow. Where do we begin? First of all, I want to tell you that when Radford watched this, and he sent me a very terse email, not directed at me, but he was not happy, and then we talked, and you actually were yelling, Jeff.
I guess I was.
You were. I mean, again, you weren't yelling at me, but you were yelling.
It's funny because and we'll get into the faculty in a minute. They have a French teacher and a Spanish teacher and an arts teacher. Apparently, they don't have an acting teacher, though.
And that would be true. Now, on the First Shift Facebook page, one of our listeners actually posted this video. And so if you go there, you will find it. And it says, tuition price tag causes controversy for Governor Snyder. Now, before we get to more audio, though, Jeff, this is what the governor's office said in response to this video. When asked how public schools can be expected to operate on a per-pupil allocation approved by the legislature when the school Governor Snyder's daughter goes to can't make it on $20,000, this is what the governor's office said, Jeff. Quote, the Snyders have nothing to do with the organization of this fund drive and are not involved in planning or delivery of the campaign. Any questions about the school or their efforts should be directed to Green Hills. Basically, they refused to answer the question. The Snyders have nothing to do with the organization of this fund drive and are not involved in the planning or delivery of the campaign. Now, listen. We know the governor's wealthy. There's no question that's true, and I'm sure he donates, which he should do. All right? That's fine. If that's part of what you got to do, you do it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm not criticizing that the governor wants his daughter to have, Jeff, the best possible education she can have.
Most people would. Most parents would want their kids to have the best education they can give them.
Absolutely. And for most of us, what we can give them is what our taxes pay for, right? Fair enough. Okay. Jeff, we have something called Proposal A that was put into place some years back that would fund education, public education, K through 12. Pretty simple stuff.
Money that's guaranteed to go to the schools. Right?
Wait. You just said guaranteed.
Whoops.
No. It's supposed to be by law guaranteed.
Oh, I thought that was steadfast. If something's guaranteed, it's supposed to be guaranteed by law that it actually goes.
No, not when you're a Republican, Jeff. When you're a Republican, it says once we have the money, we decide what's best for that money. And so the governor decided that, you know, the money that you and I pay through our sales taxes that is dedicated to education, K-12 education, was now going to be spent with higher ed. And some of it was going to be spent on, let me think here. Oh, that's right, tax breaks for corporations and the wealthy. That's where the Proposal A money went, Jeff. So maybe we should do a fundraising video for public education. We wouldn't use, of course, the kids from Green Hills because they're horrible actors. But it's an interesting concept. We've got to share with you on this issue. I'm outraged. You should be as well. We're going to take a quick break here. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you on First Shift. Thank you for punching in. Let's take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. It is a good morning so far on the roads, including through our construction zone on the Southfield Freeway. You know it's closed. M10 down to Grand River 96. People are still surprised by that. It's going to be shut down until sometime in October. If you do get on, though, from 96 onto Southfield Road, we do have one lane open there all the way down to about Michigan Avenue. Looks like traffic is actually getting through there. Pretty good pace. Not seeing any kind of big delays or backups.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain likely throughout the day, our high near 75. Tonight, a chance of showers, a low near 61. Tomorrow, we may see some fog and then some sun and a high near 80. Right now, we do have a little bit of mist at Metro Airport and 62 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Battle of Blair Mountain was commemorated recently by a 50-mile march and rally in West Virginia. That battle was the largest armed confrontation in U.S. history between workers and corporate gun thugs.
Solidarity forever.
As marchers set off on the five-day trek to Blair Mountain, a retired miner proudly held aloft a sign representing United Mine Workers of America, Local 1440. Its 1,200 members endorsed the march and rally to save a critical piece of labor history. The battlefield along the mountain ridge is where, in 1921, thousands of miners fighting for the right to join the union confronted coal company security forces and county sheriffs allied with the coal barons. Although national UMWA leaders support preserving the battlefield, they did not endorse the march. Chuck Keeney is the great-grandson of Frank Keeney, a mine workers' leader from 1917 to 1924, who was at the Battle of Blair Mountain. He says the miners' fight for collective bargaining rights, which was not won until more than a decade after the battle, was a key demand.
This is where people laid the groundwork for an American middle class, you know, for weekends, for 40-hour work weeks. And if you think labor organizations aren't important now, look at Wisconsin, look at Michigan, look at all the things that's happening. These issues are incredibly important, and Blair Mountain is a place where people can rally to that and see that labor is something that's vitally important to the economic prosperity of the United States.
On Blair Mountain, West Virginia, I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Workers Independent News.
As WIN's Lauren Schmidt reports, there's a people's alternative to the Republican take from the workers to give to the rich Wisconsin state budget. The People's Rights Campaign and the Labor Community Network marched to Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch's office to demand accessibility to their house, decrying Hipsch as a public menace for crushing the public's right to assemble.
The campaign delivered their demands that DOA Secretary stop the attacks and open the Capitol.
We're a part of the People's Rights Campaign, which is really talking about putting forward an alternative agenda, that we reject this budget and that cuts are the only answers. Cuts are not the answers to the budget crisis. We need to look at making sure the corporations and the rich are paying their fair share. And we need to talk about expanding education, making sure there's good jobs, providing health care for people in this really difficult time. They're taking Wisconsin in the wrong direction, and we're looking at really turning things around and making sure that we put forward our own agenda that's about people and people's rights and not about profits for corporations and Wall Street.
How do you solve the deficit?
Tax, tax, tax the rich!
Tell me what democracy looks like!
Pacifica Radio called it riveting. Get your copy of WIN's one-hour documentary, This is What Democracy Looks Like, Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back, Tony Trupiano, 888-552-3595. At Green Hills School in Washtenaw County, where the governor's daughter goes to school, $20,000 isn't enough. No, it's not. They need to raise more money, and so they're doing that through a video, and we're sharing some of the audio from that. Again, if you go to the First Shift Facebook page, you can watch the video for yourself, bad acting and all. It certainly raises a lot of questions. At twice of what public schools in the state of Michigan are getting, and they're cutting that, the governor makes the decision to send his daughter to a private school, which is his right.
I told you yesterday, Tony, when we bring this up, we're going to get the calls that completely misunderstand where we're coming from, and we're already starting to get them. Why are you picking on this school? Why can't he send his kid to a private school? And it's like...
He can!
Yeah, exactly. We're not picking on that. It's the fact that this private school makes it, which, you know, brings in a ton of money from tuition, needs more money, and yet public schools are fine. They actually have too much money as it is.
Well, let's see what callers have to say. We are going to go to the phones again. 888-552-3595. Our friend Bruce Felt from the Rochester Citizen joins us. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. You know, I just am amazed, number one, the governor's team won't answer any questions about this. But I think, you know, if you want to have some fun, you might want to call the school and maybe talk to the principal and ask them about this.
Well, you know what? I don't want to pick on the school. You know, Bruce, really what I'm trying to establish here is that the governor really does seem now, because we can't get him to answer questions, as you said. But we do know now he understands how important a quality education is, Bruce, and he understands that it costs money, right? He gets that.
Well,
so why is he lying
more
to
than
us?
We're spending, right?
But why? Well, he's lying to us, Bruce. He's saying that we didn't need more money in it. What we needed was to reform it. So we take the money out. We're going to play some stuff from the faculty here in a few minutes. So, you know, crazy things, Bruce, like, I don't know, art and music. You remember that used to be in the school, not anymore, because they can't afford those staff members anymore, Bruce. You know, I'm not looking to pick on Green Hills. I'm looking to understand why the governor has lied to us.
Well, it's pretty clear. I mean, he's definitely heading in the direction of privatizing, the schools. I mean, Tom, in fact, my representative, I think I mentioned before, Tom McMillan, has already introduced a bill in the House that would basically make it illegal for the government to compete in anything that
right.
private industry could possibly do.
I feel bad for you, Bruce, because Tom McMillan, if I've ever seen a rubber stamp Republican in my life, it's him.
Oh, and on top of it all, he's an ideologue. He's not really about finding real solutions. He's really about, you know, just putting an ideology in place that believes that, you know, cuts are the only way. We're not having a conversation about raising revenues in the state or in the country for that matter. We're only talking about making cuts and, you know, who are we hurting the most? Children.
Well, you're right. Bruce, thanks again, as always, for your call. TheRochesterCitizen.com. You can go ahead on Facebook and like them there, too. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Kathy in Walled Lake to the show. Kathy, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, thank you. I've been listening to your show back and forth or on my way to work every morning, and I'm excited that we actually have a local progressive person on the radio. My radio signal fades out at night, so, and, you know, when they talk about the liberal media, I don't really think that's the case because we only have one liberal radio station. I'm a public school teacher. We're getting ready to wrap up the year, and this video has been flying around the different schools. And yes, I do think they need an acting teacher. My students could outdo these kids by far as performance. And I'm very upset about what's going on. I've been following Wisconsin very closely, and it is all about privatization. Representative McMillan was at a meeting, a public meeting, and audience members were not allowed to ask questions were predetermined before, and I believe his statement was, I'm not quoting because I don't have the exact quote, but he thinks that imagine the day when all students are staying at home and being educated by the computer. And that's the same philosophy that's been spouted by Bill Gates and other people who are education reformers. So that's what I have to say right now.
Well, you know what, Kathy? We're going to continue. First of all, before I say anything, let me thank you for the sacrifices that you make on a daily basis to educate our children, number one. Number two, I want to thank you for taking your time on a daily basis and your money that you are paid to put back into that classroom to make sure that your children in that classroom that you care about have the best opportunities you can provide to them. So thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate that as a parent. Now, Kathy. No, thank you. Truly, thank you. Kathy, we're going to win this fight. We're done. We've had enough. We've drawn a line. They crossed the line. We're done. Public education will once again be something that we can all be proud of. Not because they reform it, but because we reform them, Kathy. We're going to reform this legislature. We're going to reform our politicians. Republicans, Democrats alike, we're going to reform them. Jeff, do we have time for that audio, the faculty audio?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you go ahead. A little more audio from this fundraising video from Green Hills School where the governor sends one of his children.
We get to do so many neat things in the art courses here that I look forward to every single year and every single semester to see what's going to happen next.
Because I love it. It's pure joy for me, teaching French and having taught sixth graders all the way up through seniors. I just love my students. I love my colleagues.
It just offers an amazing opportunity for people who love to teach. It gives us choice and allows us to work with kids who have full support at home and who are really eager to learn. So it's really a special gift to be able to teach here.
The fact that I can do that here with smaller classrooms and with parents that are supportive and kids who are talented and motivated makes me feel like a very lucky teacher. Thank you.
Yeah, just amazing. You know, again, French class, you know, and listen, there's still foreign language in most of the public schools, but trust me, it's very limited. There's no art class. In fact, you know, my son Dominic just graduated. They don't have music. They have band, but, you know, they have just band. Drama's an after-school activity. At the middle school in the district we live in, band is an extracurricular activity. Choir is something that stops after elementary school in most districts these days. I don't know where I would have been without this stuff, when I was a kid, when I was in school. Although I was an athlete, you know, I was also very active in choir, in drama, and, you know, that's what kept me interested in school.
Well, if you're an athlete now, there's a pay to play.
Well, I know. I got a son that we just paid to play football and golf this year. $75 per sport. So, yeah, I get it. That's, you know, an extra $150 on top of my tax dollars that are being ripped off by the Republican legislature and used for purposes that they weren't supposed to be used for. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Susan and Harper Woods to First Shift. Susan, it's a pleasure to have you on this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been listening to you. First of all, I used to love to listen to you when I was driving home from work, and now I get to listen to you while I'm driving to work, so it's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
I've been listening to all of these discussions about education and our governor's wonderful plans to try and reform our education system. I happen to have a child with a disability. And while it's wonderful to say that a child should make a year's worth of progress in a year's worth of time, I can tell you that no matter how good a teacher is or how hard they're working or how much effort they're putting into it, for some children, that is just not a realistic goal. My son may only make 8 months' worth of progress in a year's worth of time. And, you know, when you start talking about privatizing schools, private schools can pick and choose the students that they want.
You got it.
Who's going to educate my child? How are we going to make him a productive member of society? Or are we just going to take this whole group of children and just throw them away because it doesn't fit his dashboard?
Well, no, Susan, you're right. Under the governor's program, your child doesn't matter. Under the governor's program, Susan, your son doesn't he doesn't need to be educated because he's not going to be useful to society anyway. So why should we waste our resources? Because that would be a business decision, wouldn't it, Susan?
Well, you know what? And if you want to look at it strictly from a financial standpoint, that's fine. So you can either spend the money now to educate him so he can get a job and he can pay taxes, or he can become a drain on society when he's an adult.
Ah, Susan.
To take care of him then.
They don't care about stuff like that.
I mean, it from strictly a business standpoint, invest now or invest later. But it's certainly a heck of a lot cheaper to invest now.
Well, how about it's the right thing for society to do? Susan, what happened to this the idea that when you and I were growing up that we were empowered with a certain truth that we took care of our neighbors? That part of what our education system was about holding up the entire community, not just my household.
And that's true, except that we all know that for certain members of our political spectrum, morals and ethics really don't really... aren't held in high regard, and doing the right thing isn't necessarily what they're doing.
Well, that's why, Susan, I want to go back and thank you so much for your call. My prayers are with you. I hope that your son does get the education he deserves, and with a mom like you, I have a feeling he's going to be just fine. But we need to take care of Susan, and we need to take care of her son, and we need to take care of her neighbor and your neighbor. And we need to, you know, worry about more than just, I don't know, making sure that corporations are going to have some benevolent feeling and with the tax breaks that they get, spend that money to give us jobs so that we can create the kind of tax base that funds schools the way we need them funded.
She nailed it, too. Remember yesterday talking about Catherine Ferguson? You invest now and it helps you in the future.
Absolutely. I got a Catherine Ferguson email I want to get to as well. We'll come back. Green Hill School, they need money, don't we all? The hypocrisy is astounding. This is First Shift, Detroit's only progressive talk show. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Japanese beetles, emerald ash borers, and aphids prevent those nasty little bugs from nibbling away at your trees and shrubs with Ortho Bug Begon year-long tree and shrub insect control. It kills damaging insects with one easy treatment and provides systemic protection to prevent new infestations for up to 12 months. Enjoying your beautiful yard is easier when you show the bugs there's a new sheriff in town with Ortho Bug Begon. Buy it today at your independent garden center and hardware store.
You know her as Three's Company star and the Thighmaster guru, but Suzanne Summers is also author of 20 bestsellers, including her revolutionary new book, Sexy Forever, How to Lose Fat After 40. Now she's done it again by exposing the missing ingredient to help women over 40 lose weight.
Are you over 40 and just can't lose weight? Well, it's more than diet and exercise. I've spent two decades working with cutting-edge doctors, and I have found the missing piece of the puzzle to losing fat after 40. This new information will astonish you, and I want to share these discoveries, so get started now with a free weight loss plan only available at Suzanne.com. On my personalized program, you'll lose the weight, stop fat in its tracks, and rejuvenate your whole metabolism. So if you're over 40 and overweight, you need more than a diet. This is the proven answer you've been looking for.
To get Suzanne Summers' free weight loss plan, log on now to Suzanne.com. That's Suzanne.com. Suzanne.com.
Gas prices, can't explain them, can't predict them, but you can beat them. Just head to the Count on Chevy event for one of nine models over an EPA-estimated 30 MPG highway. See? Savings on gas is that simple. It just takes a trip to your Chevy dealer, and you can count on that.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. First of all, let me get to let you know what's going on a little bit later on. At 7 o'clock, Senator Burt Johnson will be with us to talk about protecting senior citizens, a little bit about mass transit in the state of Michigan. So we'll look forward to that. Dave Holtz, Executive Director of Progress Michigan, of course, will be with us as well. And Brian Dickerson from the Detroit Free Press will be with us to talk about the Mayor Bing situation scandal. I don't know what it is yet, but it's coming. We are, of course, talking about Green Hills School, which is in Washtenaw County, that is hosting a fundraiser. The significance of that is the $20,000 a year it costs to educate the kids isn't enough. They need more money. The governor's daughter happens to go to school there. We have posted, actually, one of my listeners posted the audio or the video to our Facebook page, so just look for First Shift. And want to thank, by the way, all of you over the past couple of days. Jeff, we've picked up 30 likes in the last 2 days on the First Shift Facebook page.
Oh, that needs to be higher, though.
Well, you know, I'm at the race to 1,000, and we've kind of been in the 400s here for a couple weeks now, so, you know, I can only like it once. You know, that's all I can do, or I'd be voting every day. But it's important that we spread the word. All right, we were talking briefly, and then we'll come back to Green Hills. Jeff, you had mentioned the Katherine Ferguson Academy. We were talking last night. Told you got a really nice email. The person asked me to keep their name confidential, which I'm happy to do anyway. I normally don't give out names, but I wanted to share this email. Get your thoughts as well. About a year ago, the emailer writes, I had the pleasure of working with young women at Katherine Ferguson Academy. We spent a full day together developing confidence, social skills, and life skills in the young ladies in a very public setting, hence my need to keep my identity anonymous. I found all of these young women to be bright, enthusiastic, and eager to learn. They taught me a lesson on humility and gratitude and to never take life with all of its bumps for granted. The assault on the school is heartbreaking. It represents a lifeline to these young women and their children. I don't understand the justification behind closing this particular school, and in looking at the bigger picture of Detroit and the world around us, it makes no sense at all. The cost per pupil is minimal compared to the long-term cost for these women and their future. There we go again, Jeff. All these girls needed was someone to believe in them. I cannot be at the rally tomorrow, but I will be thinking about them and those that gather. Please, on my behalf and for others like me, keep spreading the word about the work being done at this school. I live and work in Detroit, and I cannot bear the thought of what might happen to these girls or my city without that school. Jeff, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, and it's good email, good thoughts, and obviously you can see why she, or he, I don't know who it is, wanted to be anonymous. But, I mean, seriously, that school needs to be saved.
Needs to be saved. Now, there is a rally today. I want to mention that again. A rally today at noon at the school. So for those of you that can go out there, please make the effort to go out there and support these folks. This is going to be an ongoing rally, and I think the ultimate goal is to stay as long as it's going to take to get action, and hopefully it's not police action, peaceful protest, First Amendment right there. That's a First Amendment right. Okay. It's really hard. You know, Jeff, I understood your anger last night. I know I was ribbing you a little bit. You know, I deal with this stuff all day long. You know, I have people reaching out to me all day long, you know, sharing their grief and their sorrow with me. This can be a bit intense. I'm not going to lie to you. There are days where, you know, as much as, you know, we talk about it and I talk about wanting to be solution oriented, it's difficult when we don't seem to ever accomplish anything but the discussion. And I know the discussion's important. I get that. But man, wouldn't it be nice to wake up tomorrow and know that so many people showed up that it became clear that they had to keep this school open?
It'd be making a difference.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, I know that's what I want to do with the show. I think you want to do that too. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think that's what you'd like, right?
You got it.
Yeah, it's not just about getting on here and talking every day. It really isn't. So, you know, it is my hope and my prayer that people show up. Back to Green Hills School for just a moment. I want to just clarify again. I'm going to say our position because Jeff and I are pretty much in concert on this issue. No one has any problem with private schools. They have as much right to be out there as any other school. And I appreciate the fact that there are people that can afford to send their children to private schools. And by the way, to the whacked out dude that keeps emailing me that my kids went to private schools, they did not. They went to the public school system, as did I. All right? My kids did not go to a private school. My concern is that we are being told one thing while the same people that are feeding us these lies, that we need to reform education, that we need to change tenure, that we need to get rid of collective bargaining, that teachers don't know what they're doing, that you know they've got more than enough money. As they're telling us these lies, the governor-in-chief, the liar-in-chief, sending his kid to a private school, which again he has a right to do, but then hypocritically telling us it's not about the money. It's about reform. I can't help it that with the money, Mr. Governor, you give my school system that they can't hire enough teachers to do art and music and foreign language and photography class and tennis. It's just wrong, Governor, for you to send your kid to a private school and then preach to us about reform and say money's not the issue when even the and again, I don't know if he's, you know, donating to this fundraiser they're doing. I'm going to bet he did.
Well, I hope so. So his kids have some heat.
Yeah, because the one teacher says, what did the teacher say?
Well, it's all about your donations go to heat and turning the lights on at the school. Not your tuition. That goes to something. Who knows? I mean, that goes to something else. But, I mean, the donations is for the heat for the school.
How much do you want to bet me that their cafeteria has the most amazing food choices? I'll bet you they have an amazing menu at that school. I'll bet you that, you know, and it looked, from what I could tell in the video, they were filming it probably in the cafeteria during one of the meals. It looked like to me, anyway. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, and most schools don't. I mean, that school looked pretty new. You know, and God bless you. That's great. You're running it as a business. That's wonderful. That's why it's working for you. But we don't all have that opportunity, that access. But, you know, one of our rights through, again, Proposal A, was to guarantee funding for our children's education. You know, Jeff, I don't know if when you were in school they did fundraisers anyway, sold candy bars, because my kids did that all the way through school.
Yeah, we had to hawk candy bars.
Right, and you know what that money was for, right? That was for supplies in the classroom and that kind of thing. When I was on the PTA, when my kids were in elementary school, when I was on the PTA, you know, we raised a significant amount of money. We were able to buy cameras for teachers. We were able to have their film developed because they do this out of their own pocket. We were actually able to reimburse them for that stuff that they take out of their own pocket. You know, and it didn't take rocket science to figure that out. Governor, this is just beginning, so get used to it. Congratulations on your election, sir. All right, we're going to take a break. Senator Burt Johnson on the other side of this. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN News. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, still doing okay around town. We're seeing we've seen slow going along I-94 westbound through Macomb County. An earlier accident near Little Mac that's been taking some attention off the roadway, slowing things down a little. 94 west as you're trying to come in toward Little Mac, trying to make your way toward 696. The rest of the roadway still looking pretty good though at this time of the morning. I'm Diane Cross. Traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain likely throughout the day, our high near 75. Tonight, a chance of showers, a low near 61. Tomorrow, we may see some fog and then some sun and a high near 80. Right now, we do have a little bit of mist at Metro Airport and 62 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, President Obama is defending the U.S. military mission in Libya after he was sued by 10 lawmakers. The White House insists it didn't need approval from Congress because the U.S. involvement is limited. However, CNN's Brianna Keeler reports some members of Congress aren't buying it.
This reasoning that you're hearing from the White House that they don't need congressional authorization, it just isn't going to fly. Look at what the spokesman for House Speaker John Boehner said. He called these creative arguments made by the White House and said that they raise a number of questions that must be further explored.
The defense begins presenting its case at the Casey Anthony murder trial in Florida today. HLN's Nancy Gray says Anthony probably won't take the stand because the prosecution did a good job making the case. She's a liar.
I heard it myself. She says, OMG, I'm such a great liar. That came out in front of the jury. They've seen reams of videotapes of her lying like no other liar I've ever seen. So how will they believe her?
The defense claims Anthony's 2-year-old daughter drowned and was not killed. Ayman al-Zawahiri will replace Osama bin Laden as the new leader of al-Qaeda. Al-Zawahiri was second in command for years. The U.S. aircraft carrier that buried bin Laden's body at sea returned to its home port in San Diego. People lined the dock to welcome home the crew members of the USS Carl Vinson. A same-sex marriage bill passed the New York State Assembly. It now goes to the Republican-controlled state Senate, where the vote could be very close. The infamous meat dress Lady Gaga wore at the MTV Video Music Awards last year will be on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It'll be part of the Women Who Rock Vision, Passion, Power exhibit. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This week for Father's Day, nothing will put a smile on Dad's face like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift card for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
That hack attack affecting Citigroup card account holders was bigger than we thought. Last night, the company issued a statement saying 360,083 accounts had been hacked in May. A week ago, Citi said it affected only 1% of its customers, which would be just over 200,000. When we think of countries that supply oil today, most people think of the Middle East. That could shift in coming years. The International Energy Agency is forecasting that later this decade, the Americas will become ever bigger suppliers of oil for the world. Brazil will tap newly found fields in deep waters. Colombia will benefit from a guerrilla insurgency on the wane. And the United States and Canada will become bigger domestic and global suppliers from drilling oil shale fields in the Dakotas and Alberta. Ongoing fear about global economic problems, especially in European nations such as Greece, keeps pulling on markets. Japan's Nikkei down 1.5%. European markets falling. S&P futures down 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Have gas prices gotten so high that you're actually considering buying a moped? You need to get to Advance Auto Parts at once for some incredible savings. A 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil with filter is now just $17.99. Find a better price and Advance will match it. See store for details. It's all you need for a complete Castrol oil change at the ridiculous price of just $17.99. Well, not as ridiculous as a moped. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Where's my PC desktop?
It's on my desk, of course.
It's also on my smartphone.
My laptop.
My notebook.
As the engines of a smarter planet,
we mid-sized businesses need to be able to work anytime, anywhere.
Wherever I go, my desktop goes with me.
Unless I'd prefer that it didn't.
Like when I'm fishing or something.
The IBM Virtual Desktop for smart business. Designed to reduce desktop management costs. Starting at $12.50 per user per month. Learn more at ibm.com/engines/desktop. Price is subject to change without notice.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you. Just after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning, plenty to be concerned about, that's for sure. And as we will prove again in this hour with my next guest, we as Democrats proudly have true leaders fighting for what is best for all of us, not just some of us, especially if that some of us only happen to be in the top 5% of earners in this state. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. And I, you know what? This may not be the most pleasant way to start our morning every day, but I make no apologies for what we must do to move this progressive agenda forward. If we are to win, we need true leadership. We have one of those leaders with us today. Joining me now is Michigan State Senator Burt Johnson. Senator Johnson served and was term limited in the House of Representatives, courageously decided to run for the state Senate where he won. Again, where his leadership is needed, and he's here today to talk to us about a couple of issues. One of them, of course, affects way too many people in the state and certainly within his district in Detroit, and that's, of course, the governor and Republican legislature's ill-conceived and rushed decision, as we will find out just now, to change what's happening to the way their pensions are taxed. Senator Johnson, thank you for your leadership, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Listen, I know that you tried to do something very courageous yesterday. I know that
in fact,
I want to thank you and Senator Whitmer and all the members of the Democratic caucus in the Michigan State Senate. You tried to reform the pension bill that we know way too much about at this point. Unfortunately, your Republican colleagues told you what, Senator Johnson?
They said no, and they ran right back into their cave. And, Tony, I'll tell you, the fact that we have to actually do things to tweak this ridiculous law that they put in place to snatch more money out of the pockets of people who have earned their way through life, paid all their bills, loved their families and done all the things right. The fact that they're tweaking this ridiculous bill shows just how flawed it was in its inception. And so we tried to do some really smart things. Number one, we tried to get rid of it altogether. And they obviously said no to that. The second thing we tried to do was to establish some fairness, some equity in it, because there was a loophole that, if not closed, you could actually see folks double tax when it comes to their Social Security benefits and their pensions. The third thing we tried to do was we tried to put them in a bit of a trick bag to make them understand that if this thing that happened that could happen at Congress with the Ryan proposal, we wanted the pension tax off the table again. And so Republicans obviously said no, but I tell you, they have really defined themselves for what they are. They are people who will do anything to mess over common folks and give the money away to corporations. And it's going to prove itself out in the next election. I'm positive of that.
Well, and then Senator Burr Johnson, I'm positive of that as well. But in the meantime, you know, there is the fight. We need to continue to fight this good fight. And I find it beyond ridiculous, because there's no way we can justify what's happened here. We are forcing, and you know what almost makes you wonder, Senator Johnson, if Republicans have parents or children that need to be schooled in the public schools. It makes you wonder. Well, you know, so let's talk for a minute about what supposedly the Republican Party is supposed to be the party of morality. Where's the morality? Well, where's the morality in telling the senior citizens of this state that you no longer matter to us? In fact, what they've done is invite people to leave Michigan is what they've done.
That's right. And for folks who have that wherewithal and that opportunity, they will do just that. And then on the other hand, Tony, since there's nothing creative in their budget, there's nothing protectionist as it relates to young people, and they're taking money out of the hands of young folks who need to be educated across this state, those folks are going to wake up and sniff a coffee as well, because Republicans have not committed themselves absolutely to taking care of the least of these or the folks who are going to come up behind us. You can't on one hand say that we're going to have a globalized education in the hands of every kid who needs to compete with those in Japan and China and all across this world. Then on the other hand say, well, I need to take a little bit of that money back because there's some people I want to give it to and they're corporate giants and they'll never do anything to enhance your life in the first place. And that's exactly what Republicans have done. And they have this ability, it's an amazing thing to watch. They have this ability to justify it. When I debate Republicans publicly about this, the first thing they say about the K-12 education cuts is, well, we didn't take as much, and so we held it a little less harmless than we did some of the other budgets that we cut money out of. And I got to tell you, I move a little bit away from them because I'm looking for that lightning bolt to come down and zap them, and I don't want to get hit with it.
Well, you know, and I've got to wonder, you've been part of the Lansing culture for some time there, and now, Senator Johnson, and you know, listen, you were there when the Democrats were in the majority. If I recall, because I was doing radio back then, I've been doing Michigan politics a long time. There was esprit de corps. There was at least a sense of cooperation. Certainly, we know that Governor Granholm, with you know, all the good and all the bad, she was at her very core willing to compromise, willing to listen. What's it like to go to work every day knowing they don't really care what you think, Senator Burt Johnson?
It's tragic, because after I leave work, Tony, I got to come back home to a community that absolutely needs what we're trying to put on the table as Democrats. People forget that Governor Granholm, she served two terms in the Michigan governor's chair, and for her entire first term, she had no help because she had an absolutely Republican legislature that fought her every step of the way. Then in 06, when she won again for re-election, she actually got a bit of a blessing when she got a Democratic majority in the House. And so we were able to actually establish some fairness and some equity in the laws, the rules, the policies that we were putting out. And it gave her a leg up, a leg to stand on, so she could actually get some of the things she wanted to do done. She got vilified all across the state for not being able to do enough. But it's important to note that on her watch, you know, what Republicans love is cuts. On her watch, she cut more from state government without being to establish her progressive agenda that some of us believe in wholeheartedly. She cut more to try to appease and cooperate with Republicans who never want to cooperate with anybody but themselves. And so as much as I would love to have all three legs of the legislative and governor's chair, I don't think it's good for any one party to have complete control, because you sort of lose focus on what's important and people get lost in the mix.
And that's being proved out as we live and work in our daily lives in Michigan right now.
Absolutely. And it's the worst thing that Michigan could have done to itself.
Your office sent me some information. Let me just share this with you. You're kind of going back to something that you've already talked, but I want to kind of circle around back and discuss it again. And it says, and I'll read, Democrats introduced amendments to Senate Bill 409 today that would have repealed the pension tax entirely. Here's the part that I want to talk about. Made Social Security income non-taxable, which Lieutenant right. Governor Kelly and Republicans incorrectly asserted was already the case. That's another way of saying right. they lied. They lied, that's Senator right. Johnson.
And they do it over and over and over again. I had a great conversation before the public with some Republicans about the fact that Brian Kelly was actually the author of the MBT and the brain trust for that, and I don't think they knew that. And so when they get put in a tight situation or when they don't understand, that's precisely what you get. You get disingenuous information that you can term as a lie. And our people are suffering for this garbage that's coming out of Lansing, and we're hearing about it all across the state. People are stomping. They're out talking about it. They're young people. When I walk into schools, they know what's going on. The teachers are being vilified. Police and fire is being cut across this state. Education funding is being cut across this state. And people are being made the scapegoat. They're being made to carry the bags for the corporations that, again, will never, ever come into these inner urban cores and give anything back to these folks. This notion about creating jobs is a gimmick, and it's not going to work.
State Senator Berg Johnson is my guest. Been in the legislature a while, worked around the legislature even longer, knows this game well. Let me ask you, you just said earlier you've got to go back home. Back home is Highland Park. Devastated by the loss of the film incentives, because Highland Park was benefiting greatly from that. So you absolutely. Lose that. I happen to know that a lot of your residents, Bert Johnson, are senior citizens, and they're not high-income senior citizens. This hurts that community even more. This has to be devastating for you.
It is devastating. I talked to an 88-year-old retired teacher 2 days ago who said to me, she said, Bert, I want to know what you're doing on these teacher tenure bills. And I said, well, I'm staying away from them as far as I can. She lives in Highland Park. She taught for 40 years. And she talks about wanting to stay in the city that she helped to build some years ago. And she's saying to me, Bert, my quality of life is so diminished that I might need to move away from here. And when she talked about that, I know exactly what she's saying, Tony, because in the poorest city in the state of Michigan, Highland Park, it costs you the most to live here. So seniors who are being taxed on their pension, kids who don't get enough per pupil allotment money going to school, folks who are driving over these horrible roads, I've tried to press the governor on the issue that we need to still deal with mortgage foreclosures. People are being turned upside down in their homes. High insurance costs. I mean, you name it, it's happening to people, and it's happening right here. And if you move to more affluent areas, those people are not under siege such as they are in cities like Highland Park. So when I come home, people tell it to me the most real way they know how to do it, and I have to take it back to Lansing and try to shove it down the throats of Republicans to make them understand there's some reality to this trash that's coming out of Lansing.
Absolutely.
And
Senator Johnson, can you stay with us? We've got to take a break. A couple more things I'd like to get to. Can you stay with us?
Yes.
All right. Senator Bert Johnson, my guest. A very, very quick break here. We'll come back. Much more to get to. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on Detroit's only progressive talk show on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes the big delays in Macomb County along I-94. Westbound before the Little Mac, we've got an accident going off at the right shoulder is what's blocked, but all three lanes are open and going very slowly. Everyone has to slow down to take a look at what's going on the side of the road, and that has things backed up for miles on 94 westbound. The accident near Little Mac, but big backups. Eastbound 94, you may see some pockets of slowdowns as well. As gawkers look at what's going on the westbound side.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're going to have rain throughout the day. Our high near 75 tonight. Rain, a possibility. A low near 61. Tomorrow, they'll look for some sunny skies and a high near 80. Right now, we still have some misty conditions near the airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work. With First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest, State Senator Burt Johnson. We're going to switch gears a little bit here and talk maybe some good news. A regional transit authority, an RTA. Senator Johnson, this would create an economic boon that I don't think people understand in the least. Let's talk a little bit about what you proposed yesterday and what this series of bills would do for Southeast Michigan.
You just said it. People don't really understand the value that this brings to the region, to the state, to the city, how it's going to excite our economy, how it links us out with the federal government and gives us an opportunity to draw in billions of dollars to build out a system where people in our state, in our city, will be selected through their trade union organizations, the whole nine, so that they can come in here, earn income, and for the next 5 to 10 years, build out a system that will absolutely revolutionize our state. It gives us the opportunity to start springboarding to the front of the class, if you will. So you hear the governor all the time talk about ways in which that we're supposed to put Michigan out front. We're supposed to leapfrog people, go from 49th, 41st, 41st place, all the way up to number one. This is how you do it. And you don't do it by cutting and tearing back the very fabric of your community or your state and ask the citizens. This thing is hot, Tony, and I'm telling you, it is going to revolutionize who we are across this state.
And you actually have some bipartisan support on this, and it's important and noteworthy that we mention that.
Yeah. I went to talk to the chair of transportation, Tom Casperson, and I'm going to tell you something. He saw the light. All I had to do was shine it. And he said, look, Bert, I want to be a partner. He said, I understand the importance of what you're trying to do. He said, I'm almost in Northern Michigan. I'm in Escanaba, but I know that what needs to happen in Southeast can happen through this vehicle. And so he climbed on board, and he's running it with me, and we're going to make it happen. And, you know, having the bipartisan support is important. It's cool. It's one thing. But the real story here is what this can do for people. We have to be exciting and creative to make young people stay. There's nothing creative and exciting about government in Michigan, and it's nothing. There's nothing to attract young folks. We already turned back stuff like the film credits, and so this is going to give us an opportunity to put people in position to get to these jobs in a better way. And it's not just trains. It's actually coordinated bus service as well. And so we relieve some tension that's on these budgets in VDOT and SMART, and we give also a tool to raise the local dollar to match out with the federal by allowing municipalities to actually raise some capital for themselves to deal with some of these cuts that are coming out of Lansing that might actually save the day in their own budget. So there's a lot of really good moving parts here.
Yeah, well, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful that you've got, again, bipartisan support, which is important. But, you know, this is something that should have happened a while ago. For those that are paying attention and aren't aware, you're actually the motivating force behind the light rail on Woodward as well.
Right. That was a set of bills. There was 8 of them, as a matter of fact, almost 3 years ago. And the only thing that I'm regretful about in passing those bills a couple years ago is the fact that it's taken this long to actually make it happen. That train is supposed to be rolling right now. But, again, it got bogged down in traditional politics, which this state can't afford. I'm just amazed at how people will take a great idea and drop it into the political abyss and let it melt away. But when M1 Rail comes online, that was supposed to be the genesis and then the catalyst visually to prompt people to come along with the RTA later. And since it's still in its infancy, its genesis, we knew we had to just push the RTA across the table. And so that's what we're doing now. We're getting ready to have our discussion with the Big Four, Big Five, if you will, in Southeast Michigan, and I think most of everybody's going to be on board. And frankly, this agenda, this train is going to run because Michigan needs it more than ever, given the fact that we've got this governor in here pushing this horrible agenda on people.
Absolutely, Senator Bert Johnson, again, my guest. We are going to go to the phones, folks, and I want to I just want to tell you, this is a nonpartisan issue. This is not something that we should be politicizing. This is about what's doing right for the state, and not just for the region, for the state. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, thanks for joining us this morning. You're on the line with Senator Bert Johnson.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Tom.
Great. Yeah, you know, in terms of this rail thing, I mean, you know, like Senator Johnson said, this should have already have happened. But, you know, it's better late than never, but better never late. You know, when you look at, you know, how this region, we are inextricably connected, you know, this is but that first step on a journey of 1,000 miles to get some regional transportation to, you know, hopefully, you know, be one of the ingredients to pull this thing together to make this a world-class area, because there is no reason why in the world, you know, we should not be connected or disconnected as we are, you know, with this transportation thing. And, you know, as was said, this is going to generate jobs and what have you, and people, you know, God, we need jobs, you know, and they'll be employed, you know, for whatever how long. But, you know, it is it's a situation whose time it's long overdue, and I mean, I'm glad that I've seen, you know, things in the paper where, you know, they had meetings about this, you know, things are starting to fall in place in terms of the money and what have you, and I mean, you know, let's go ahead and get the show on the road and get this thing going, because, well, you know, I've heard this talk about Detroit and, you know, being a world city, but we need more than a world-class city. We need a world-class regional metropolitan area.
And this would help, and Tom, thank you for the call. This would help do it. And Bert, I don't mean to steal your thunder, but, you know, let me tell this audience that, you know, of the 41 largest metropolitan areas in the nation, Metro Detroit's the only one that doesn't have an RTA.
That's right. And Metro Detroit and the rest of Michigan we've made ourselves a perpetual donor state by virtue of the fact that we send all of this money out to the Fed and none of it ever comes back to enhance a regional transit situation here in Michigan, because one doesn't exist. So, you know, if you can just imagine taking your money and putting it in front of a fan and watching it just blow away from you, knowing you're never going to get anything back on it. That's the situation Michigan has been in for decades.
Absolutely. Let's try to get in one more call before we have to let Senator Burt Johnson go. Amir in Detroit joins us as well. Amir, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Senator Burt Johnson.
Hey, how you doing, Tony? And Mr. Johnson, Senator, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Amir. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. We go a long way back, and I like what you do about the regional transportation. That is a good thing. Can we make sure that the companies and the jobs are from Michigan instead of having, you know, outside states, outside countries doing all the work and owning the actual project?
Oh,
we're going to try to. That's a great question. We're going to try to do actually a little bit better than that. I want to manufacture the trains here. I want to build the buses here. I want Michigan companies on the front end of the investment. I'm going to try to work that into the legislation. That's something that, Tony, I'm always amazed at when we do these big projects and these big pieces of policy and it's talking about infrastructure build out, just how many companies, corporations, groups, associates, conduits, you name it, are not from the state of Michigan. And we're really enhancing everybody else's pocketbook, but we're not taking care of our own. And there's a lot of brain trust here that can do all of that work, not to mention the people who can build all this stuff. And our manufacturing plants just need to ramp up and make it happen according to what we're going to prescribe. But that's a great point, Amir. I'm going to be all over that.
Well, you know, Senator Johnson, we're out of time. I want to thank you for your time. But, you know, I've never met you before. You need to come back and visit with us.
I certainly will, and I appreciate all the love and the time. And, Tony, you do a great job on the air taking care of our people and pushing the agenda, brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Senator Burt Johnson, we will take a quick break. Open lines the remainder of the hour. Stay where you're at. Again, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. What's on your mind? Let's get it on. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes still the big delays along 94 westbound because of that earlier accident near Little Mac that's been on the shoulder. That's why we've seen the big slowdown because everyone slows down to take a look at it. Orchard Lake southbound near 12 Mile, that's still a bit of a mess from an earlier bus fire that's been in the cleanup stages for a while.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're going to have rain throughout the day. Our high near 75 tonight. Rain, a possibility. A low near 61. Tomorrow, they'll look for some sunny skies and a high near 80. Right now, we still have some misty conditions near the airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Battle of Blair Mountain was commemorated recently by a 50-mile march and rally in West Virginia. That battle was the largest armed confrontation in U.S. history between workers and corporate gun thugs.
Solidarity forever.
As marchers set off on the five-day trek to Blair Mountain, a retired miner proudly held aloft a sign representing United Mine Workers of America, Local 1440. Its 1,200 members endorsed the march and rally to save a critical piece of labor history. The battlefield along the mountain ridge is where, in 1921, thousands of miners fighting for the right to join the union confronted coal company security forces and county sheriffs allied with the coal barons. Although national UMWA leaders support preserving the battlefield, they did not endorse the march. Chuck Keeney is the great-grandson of Frank Keeney, a mine workers leader from 1917 to 1924, who was at the Battle of Blair Mountain. He says the miners' fight for collective bargaining rights, which was not won until more than a decade after the battle, was a key demand.
This is where people laid the groundwork for an American middle class, you know, for weekends, for 40-hour work weeks. And if you think labor organizations aren't important now, look at Wisconsin, look at Michigan, look at all the things that's happening. These issues are incredibly important, and Blair Mountain is a place where people can rally to that and see that labor is something that's vitally important to the economic prosperity of the United States.
on Blair Mountain, West Virginia. I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Workers Independent News.
As WIN's Lauren Schmidt reports, there's a people's alternative to the Republican take from the workers to give to the rich Wisconsin state budget. The People's Rights Campaign and the Labor Community Network marched to Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch's office to demand accessibility to their house, decrying Hipsch as a public menace for crushing the public's right to assemble.
The campaign delivered their demands that DOA Secretary stop the attacks and open the Capitol.
We're a part of the People's Rights Campaign, which is really talking about putting forward an alternative agenda, that we reject this budget and that cuts are the only answers. Cuts are not the answers to the budget crisis. We need to look at making sure the corporations and the rich are paying their fair share. And we need to talk about demanding education, making sure there's good jobs, providing health care for people in this really difficult time. They're taking Wisconsin in the wrong direction, and we're looking at really turning things around and making sure that we put forward our own agenda that's about people and people's rights and not about profits for corporations and Wall Street.
How do you solve a deficit? Tax, tax, tax the rich!
Pacifica Radio called it riveting. Get your copy of WIN's one-hour documentary, This Is What Democracy Looks Like, Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. Feel free to join us, and thanks for punching in this morning. Our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day. Mayor Dave Bing seems to be sliding deeper into controversy. Detroit once again is seemingly being led by a dishonest, power-hungry leader. Can Detroit be saved? That's the question. Can Detroit be saved? There are a variety of answers. Feel free to go on to Facebook. Just search for First Shift. Don't forget to like us while you're there if you haven't already done that. You can also access our Facebook and our Twitter feed by just going to thetonyshow.org, thetonyshow.org. You'll see the icons at the very top. Just click on them. They'll take you through to where we need to go. We are open lines in this half hour. I am going to go back to the phone, but if you do want to join us, you do have the number. It is toll-free, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jason in Harrison Township to First Shift. Jason, thanks for calling this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. First of all, I wanted to tell you, you know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really I've enjoyed your show. It's interesting to see that you've got a decent point of view, and it seems like you're pretty fair on the issues as far as at least hearing opposing viewpoints. And you become my new stop in the morning. So thanks for that.
Well, Jason, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Aside from that, I just had a question for you guys. I know you were talking about concerns about Michigan becoming a donor state. And I looked into this a while ago through Congressional Budget Office numbers, and it looked like the number was either 93 or 98. I'll take the lesser of two and say 93% of every dollar that we send to the federal government was actually eventually spent in the state of Michigan. To me, it seemed like that was a pretty equitable number. And as maybe a bit more of a conservative guy than either of you, my opinion would be if we want to become not, you know, less of a donor state, our goal should be to send less money away to the federal government and retain control of our dollars ourselves, rather than see them come back with earmarks and instructions on how they should be spent. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with you. I'd like to see more money stay here as well. But, you know, again, this goes back to that fair share argument, Jason, you've heard us talk about so much on this show. When we look at, you know, what we send out, and for those of you that don't understand, I think Jason did an excellent job of explaining what donor state means. We send more dollars to the federal government than comes back to us, and we are only one of a handful of states where that happens. I'd like to see us sending less money out of the state, but I'd like it to be for all of us, not just the most wealthy, and that's obviously what we've seen, especially over the last 10 years. You know, these are not uniquely Republican-created problems, so I will be fair and honest about that up front. Democrats have been co-enablers to some degree as well. you know, again, we've been talking a great deal this week about messaging. You know, that's where this is the one of those Democrat things, Democrat, not democracy, one of those Democrat things where, you know, not only are we not always great on message, but because we care about so many different issues and all of these issues need to be funded, that it sounds like we're just willing to spend willy-nilly, which I am not a big fan of. In fact, when, you know, Jeff and I were putting together a bio for him, Jeff, one of the things that you sent to me is that you considered yourself to be fiscally conservative, except in those areas where there's great need, education, taking care of our poor, taking care of our senior citizens. And I think that that's correct. I don't want to misrepresent your point of view. That's how I understood that, correct?
Yeah, I mean, watch your spending, but because you always hear the stories about, oh, they bought, you know, government bought a $10,000 hammer, and it's like, all right, let's, you know, let's control the spending, but spend it wisely. It's all about how you spend the money, not necessarily just throwing money at a problem.
Absolutely, and so again, I, as a Democrat and even a liberal Democrat, I agree with Jeff. I think we do need to be very careful. Again, part of that is my business background. You know, when we were going to put together this program, we needed to buy certain things that build the infrastructure, equipment, etc. And so, you know, I looked at the budget that I had, and then I made some equitable decisions. You know, based on that longevity, you know, I looked at service records on equipment. I mean, I really took my time and then deliberately went out and bought the equipment we needed to make sure that we could bring you the best and most responsible show on a daily basis. And so just because somebody's liberal or somebody's a Democrat doesn't mean, you know, it's that old thing, you know, tax and spend liberal. Well, first of all, we need taxes. Taxes are what, you know, that old phrase, it's a necessary evil. It is. We need to tax, again, equitably, fairly. And that's why I have been, you know, ever since I made that statement on the show some 2 weeks ago about Ronald Reagan, that things have been worse since Ronald Reagan, that has really resonated with you folks. I still am getting emails from people, you know, thanking me for saying that. And listen, I'm not saying anything that, you know, those that are much smarter and better than I have said long before I said it. You know, I'm glad to repeat it. I'm glad that it's resonated and stuck with some of you folks. I mean, I'm very, very happy about that because in order to change what we have in front of us, we need to understand it. It's another way of saying educating, and so what we're part of what we I think we're doing here is educating you on a daily basis. And I want to empower you. I want to move you. You know, I had a very interesting discussion with a listener that had called me yesterday after the show. We were talking yesterday afternoon about, you know, some of the frustration. I kind of teased at this yesterday, but there's this frustration when I get up to do my show every day, and I'm a pretty serious guy, and I know that. And listen, I've got a sense of humor and all that, but I'm looking to move the dial. I'm not looking to just, you know, get up and do a radio show for as long as I can do it and collect a paycheck and be happy to do that. I'm looking to change the landscape. And if I'm naive to think I can do that, let me have my naivete. Every guy's got to have a dream, right? This is mine, so let me have it. I just happen to believe that if we can incite enough passion and enough people and get them to show up, if we can truly, you know, empower people, educate them, give them the right information, that ultimately something good must come of that. Don't you think? I would sure hope so. I mean, I would sure hope so. So let's keep that in mind. Again, we're open lines, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Very quickly want to mention the unemployment rate up 0.1% in the month of May, which of course isn't horrible. I mean, we want to see jobs created. But the good news is the Trenton plant, the Chrysler Trenton plant, is going to be reopened. Chrysler is going to absolutely invest $114 million to retrofit that plant to make it usable for their purposes, and they will once again be hiring at the Trenton Assembly Plant, and that is good news for a lot of my UAW brothers and sisters. And so congratulations to them. Although unemployment up slightly last month, you know, ultimately the good news is that, you know, more jobs will be created. More people will be going back to work. More auto workers will be going back to work. And we got lots of them that need those jobs. So congratulations to Chrysler and looking forward to that. Hey, Jeff, a really cool thing I saw this morning, and I'm going to really make an effort to go see this, but the Emancipation Proclamation is actually coming to Michigan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the document itself, it's going to be at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, and, of course, I'm not far from there. The document, of course, was issued during the Civil War by President Abraham Lincoln, probably the only Republican that I absolutely adore. And he declared that all persons held as slaves in rebel states were free. In fact, I wrote one of the books I wrote. The second book I wrote was called The Emancipation of Thomas J. Everyman. It's out of print now. But the Emancipation Proclamation is the foundational document in which I build my argument around.
That is, it's one of those things, too, when you go and see, I mean, don't you just get chills when you see something that, A, is that old, that important, and you just realize, like, you know, that's the actual thing. I mean, that's him writing that right there. I mean, sometimes I get chills with that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. If Dominic Jeff will join us for a minute. Dom, how old were you when we went to D.C. to visit Chris in Virginia Beach?
Oh, man, I don't know, like 10 probably?
You were just 10. I don't know. Did you remember when we went to the Smithsonian, how awestruck I was by everything?
Yeah, it was a really cool day. It was quite the time.
It really was. And Jeff, you know, you see all these documents. You see pieces of history. I mean, and yeah, I was. It chilled? Hell yeah. And it wasn't just because the air conditioning worked really well, and it does, by the way. The Smithsonian definitely factors in the humidity in D.C. You keep nice and cold. In fact, my son Anthony didn't want to leave any of the Smithsonian buildings because they were so controlled temperature-wise. And you think I'm running on needlessly about this? Trust me, it wasn't needlessly. It was awesome. But have you ever been to the Smithsonian at all, Jeff?
No.
Oh, you have got to go.
I lived in Philadelphia for a while, so I did the whole, you know, the
Liberty Bell, yeah,
and you know, all the stuff there. It's I'm assuming much the same.
Yeah, by a million times a million. I mean, because everywhere you go, you know, there's the Smithsonian is not just one building; it's a series of buildings, and you know, they have all different kinds of displays. You know, there's the aeronautics wing, there's the Native American history wing. I mean, there's all kinds of it's amazing, and it's spread out, and it you really could, seriously, if you wanted to take your time, you could literally spend a month visiting all these buildings and taking your time and really appreciating that history. So yeah, the Emancipation Proclamation, which was to me a defining document to modern times. I mean, without the Emancipation Proclamation, God only knows what would have happened. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, and I'm certainly going to make an effort. We're going to take a quick break here. I want to invite you to join us. We're open lines to the top of the hour. In the next hour, Dave Holtz with Progress Michigan will be with us. Brian Dickerson from the Detroit Free Press. And we can talk about anything that's on your mind. Dave Bing, I'm worried. What's on your mind? I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Quiznos Flavor Theater presents Captain Napkin.
This is our calling, fellow napkins, to wipe smoky Quiznos barbecue sauce from proud chins, protect khaki laps from pieces of slow-roasted pork, and tidy up the scraps of toasty genius. Who's with me? Yeah!
Try our all-new large Quiznos Southern Barbecue Pulled Pork Sub. This or any large toasty favorite sub, now just $5. Quiznos. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Toasty. For a limited time, only at participating locations.
AutoZone. No matter how high gas prices go, you've got to keep going.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
AutoZone is on your side with easy gas-saving tips to help you keep going all summer. Doing a simple tune-up, pouring in a fuel treatment, and maintaining proper tire pressure can go a long way to help you get the most mileage possible out of your car. So don't let high gas prices keep you from getting where you need to go. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark.
one of Select Quote Insurance Services term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Japanese beetles, emerald ash borers, and aphids prevent those nasty little bugs from nibbling away at your trees and shrubs with Ortho Bugbegone year-long tree and shrub insect control. It kills damaging insects with one easy treatment and provides systemic protection to prevent new infestations for up to 12 months. Enjoying your beautiful yard is easier when you show the bugs there's a new sheriff in town with Ortho Bugbegone. Buy it today at your independent garden center and hardware store.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Jeff, I just got an email that I think you're going to find interesting. And it's in concert with a caller that wanted us to plug the rally today at noon. Guess who's going to be there?
I don't know. Just tell me.
Actor Danny Glover.
No way.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
Yes, the UAW will join Danny Glover at the Katherine Ferguson Academy today to protest the planned closing of the school. The rally is sponsored by Detroiters for Dignity and Democracy, and Detroit City of Hope will begin at noon with a press conference and events to follow. The Katherine Ferguson Academy is a school serving pregnant teenagers and young mothers and their children. That is very cool.
See, you get rid of the tax incentives for Hollywood, and yet the Hollywood stars still want to come out here.
Well, you know, Danny Glover is an activist at his core, and in fact, I went to an ACLU dinner some years back, maybe 5-6 years ago, and he was the keynote speaker. But it was really cool. Instead of having him just deliver a speech, they had a columnist from the Detroit Free Press at the time. Her name was Desiree Cooper, who is no longer with the Freep. They actually did it as a conversation, if that makes sense to you. You know, they sat there and she kind of interviewed him in front of the entire group. You know, it was a dinner, but instead of him just standing there giving a speech, it was this conversation, which was really quite special. And then they did, of course, a Q&A. It was a very unique and fun way to do it.
Right. They probably did it the right way, whereas when Charlie Sheen came to Detroit, it didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't work out so well. You know, there was a part of me that was so glad I wasn't on the air yet. Yeah. When Charlie Sheen was here, I mean. So glad. You know, and that's not something that I really... I'm going to just go over it. Also, we had a caller earlier in the show, Susan. You'll recall her, the child with disabilities?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She just sent me an email, shared with me that there was some legislation that would have required insurance companies to make sure that the treatments and therapies for children with autism would be protected, and the legislature absolutely allowed that bill to die. I don't get it.
We're surprised by this still. I mean, again, we should be. It should be shocking, but yet it just seems like the stories keep coming out and coming out. And you know what? Her point was completely right, especially with these charter schools. Charter schools can pick and choose who they want. So, yeah, they're trying to get, you know, the kids that they know that they can get graduated so their numbers look really well or look really good. And then they're going to still leave a few public schools open for the kids that, you know, have disabilities because it takes more money to help them out. And then also the kids who, you know, have trouble, have learning disabilities. So it makes the public schools look even worse and the charter schools look better.
Yeah, well, again, we are going to continue. We should actually, Jeff, because you were, and I want to thank you for the work you did. You have secured David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, as a regular guest for the show, and he's going to be on with us, I think it's, what, one Monday a month? Is that what it is?
Yep.
So, you know, this is something that we're going to stay on top of. This whole education spectrum is going to be something we stay on top of. I wanted to bring up one more story before, because we've got a full hour in the next hour, so I want to get one more story in. Jeff, I don't travel nearly as much as I once did. I used to travel a lot, and we will travel with the show from time to time, and I'm going to be kind of curious when we do that if you're going to be able to get away. Are you going to be able to travel when I need to travel?
Depends where we go.
What do you mean? I mean, I'm not talking about to, you know, to
some of the. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I want to try and get away if I can, for sure.
Well, I mean, like, you know, we're certainly, you know, we're going to start going to like conventions. Certainly, when you know the 2012 election comes up, we're going to want to go to the you know the Democratic National Convention. I'm going to need you there. And you know we're going to be starting and getting invited to conferences, and I'm just wondering if you're going to be able to get away.
Well, a lot of that stuff I'm real interested in, so I'll try my hardest to see if I can work something out here.
All right, because it's an amazing experience, and you know I normally have to go to that stuff alone because no one ever wants to pay for their producer. I'm not that guy, and it is an amazing experience. But very quickly, travel is becoming very expensive, not just the price of tickets, but these baggage charges, right? And again, I don't travel that much, so this is not something that's affected me much. But I saw this headline this morning, and I thought to myself, Tony, yes, Tony, really? $1.7 billion? Delta last year alone, and baggage fees alone, brought in $1.7 billion. $1.7 billion. Just for touching your bag. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Can you believe that?
That seems like quite a large amount. And I did see, I don't know if it was Delta, but one of the airlines actually finally relented a little bit. And they're going to allow our servicemen, people that serve our country, that fight for the freedom of our country, to have a few bags that they don't have to pay for.
So yeah, what a faux pas that was. I mean, that they were, and in fact, you know, what people don't understand is when these folks, you know, when our servicemen and women come from Iraq home, they have more than a carry-on, okay? And there was, and I remember this guy, in fact, I read the article, Jeff, there were 12 service members, military service members that were coming from Afghanistan to the States, and their baggage fees were $2,500 for the group.
Thanks for all that you do.
You know? So, yes, they've agreed to waive that. But $1.7 billion in extra cash because they now charge you to handle your luggage.
I thought most planes came with like a luggage compartment, and they expected you to bring luggage when you travel.
Well, according to this article, it says without baggage fees, the industry would have lost another $3 to $4 billion last year. So you know, again, I realize that fuel costs affect the airline industry as well, but normally they just tack that onto the cost of your flight, and flying is not really affordable any longer. In fact, most people find, Jeff, that if they factor in gas versus the cost of an airline ticket and all the hassle, you know, sometimes it's you're almost better off driving than flying. I mean, certainly I think that would be true to, or taking the train, if you will, maybe Chicago. It's really not, especially, you know, when you go from Detroit to Chicago, Jeff, it is almost quicker to drive it, if, as crazy as that sounds, because the flight's only 45 minutes. But by the time you got to go to the airport, you got to be there a certain amount of time ahead. And then you've got to wait for the flight. You got to get on, then you wait on the plane, and you take off and you go. You get to the airport, and by the time you get there and get your luggage, you know, about 5 hours has gone by to do a 45-minute flight.
And the flight is like there is no plateau. It's a quick ascend, and then as soon as you get to a certain point, you're descending down to Chicago as it is.
Right. It makes no sense. I mean, that makes no sense. All right. Well, anyway, $1.7 billion for Delta alone. All right, we're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Redistricting with David Holtz from Progress Michigan, that is going to be the story tomorrow. I mean, that is going to be the story tomorrow. So we'll be talking about it today because the maps are going to be released tomorrow, but You know what? You know David Holtz. He will have some inside information for us. I can promise you that. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break on 1310 WDTW. Stay punched in. One more hour. We got a lot to get to. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. It's been pretty slow through Macomb County along 94 westbound. At times, Metro Parkway all the way down to Little Mac, where an earlier accident on the right shoulder has been working, sometimes taking out that right lane that may be adding to our delays. But most of that has been Gawker slowdown, 94 west before Little Mac. Orchard Lake South, approaching 12 mile, that earlier bus fire and the cleanup. That's why we've had at times up to three lanes blocked there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're going to have rain throughout the day. Our high near 75 tonight. Rain, a possibility. A low near 61. Tomorrow, they'll look for some sunny skies and a high near 80. Right now, we still have some misty conditions near the airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, foreclosures across the country are down for the eighth straight month. But CNN's Poppy Harlow says the numbers on the surface don't tell the whole story.
You think that would be good news. It's actually not good news. What the experts say is that's actually just a result of the robo-signing scandal, that a lot of the banks didn't have the proper paperwork to foreclose on these homes. So they say, look, the housing market is not in recovery. You have to look past those latest numbers.
Several explosions rocked the Libyan capital of Tripoli again today. A Russian group that will arrive there is raising the possibility of leader Muammar Gaddafi giving up power, but staying in Libya. The White House is defending the U.S. military mission in Libya after several members of Congress sued President Obama. CNN's Brianna Keeler says the Obama administration released a 32-page report explaining why the president didn't need approval from Congress.
What you have here is the White House really looking at the fine print of this law, saying this is a limited military operation that they're involved in, and therefore they don't need to comply with that part of the War Powers Resolution.
We don't know yet if Casey Anthony is going to take the stand at her murder trial in Florida. The defense will start making its case later today. Anthony's on trial for the murder of her 2-year-old daughter. The defense claims Kaylee Anthony drowned and was not killed. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is out of the hospital. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta says Giffords still needs hospital care.
But it's also, you know, this idea that someone, is ready to graduate, to move on to things that are more easily done in the home, things that are focused on the behavior that's associated with increasingly independent living. So it's not a definitive milestone, but all indicators are that it's a pretty good thing.
It's been 5 months since Giffords was shot in the head during a shooting spree in Arizona. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This week for Father's Day, nothing will put a smile on Dad's face like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift cards for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
The talk in Washington these days is all about cutting budgets. The Pentagon has scaled back on spending for new equipment. So the defense industry is going offshore for new business. Los Angeles Times reports defense contractors are on pace to sell $46 billion worth of military equipment to foreign governments this year. That will be a 50% increase from last year and a record. The number of people affected by the big Citigroup data breach we've been telling you about is growing. A week ago, the company disclosed that information on more than 200,000 Citicard customers was accessed back in May. Now the company says it's more than 360,000 people. That's according to a statement released last night. A few years ago, Pier 1 Imports was on the brink of corporate death. Its impressive comeback continues. First quarter earnings soared 84% to $14 million. Sales for Pier 1 up more than 9%. S&P futures losing 4 points. NASDAQ futures down 2.5. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
This week for Father's Day, nothing will put a smile on Dad's face like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift cards for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... President of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan, embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Truviano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Truppiano back with you on this Thursday program. And my, oh my, is time just flying by today. This hour will be no different. Before we get to our guest in this half hour, just want to share with you that Saturday is Stand Up for Democracy Day, sponsored by AFSCME, and I'll get you more information on this tomorrow. But throughout the state on Saturday, and I mean from Benton Harbor to Detroit, from Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Flint, Marquette, Pontiac, Petoskey, Traverse City, and points in between, Saturday will be Stand Up for Democracy Day, and I'll explain all of that to you tomorrow. Just want to let you know, Saturday is one of those show-up days. So you're going to want to set some time aside for that, and again, much more to come on that tomorrow. In this hour, as I promised you, David Holtz is with us. I'll introduce him in just a moment. If you would like to join us at any time throughout the show, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And let me remind you, we do have a poll question every day. And today's poll question deals with Mayor Dave Bing. If you've been watching television or reading the papers, you know that he has got himself in a bit of a controversy. And it seems that he is sliding deeper into that controversy, as we'll discuss with Brian Dickerson at the bottom of the hour. But the question today is Detroit really can Detroit really be saved? We can't seem to find a leader that isn't more concerned about power than about doing the right thing. So there's the question. Go to Facebook and let us know what you think. Let me turn my attention now to Dave Holtz. Dave, of course, is the executive director of Progress Michigan. You can find them online at progressmichigan.org and on Facebook at Progress Michigan. And as I shared with you earlier today, he's joining us to talk about redistricting, and those maps will be released tomorrow. And David Holtz, first of all, welcome back to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I want to thank you for being live and in person at the Senate Coney Island last Thursday when Mitt Romney was there. I thought it was some pretty darn good radio, David.
It was great radio, and it sort of set the tone for Romney's trip the whole time he was in Michigan, because it really put the focus on workers and the health of the auto industry and Romney's apparent disregard for both.
And not to mention the fact that even you got a little national attention, Dave Holtz. I understand that, I read that some of the national media picked up your exchange with Mitt Romney as well.
Yeah, it was, we were, I was the only person in that Senate Coney Island was asking him questions. And by the time he got to his next stop, the reporters were basically pummeling them with the same questions, so it looked like they needed a bit of a cue, and I was happy to give it to them.
Fair enough, and sure you did, quote unquote, give it to them. Not a problem. All right. Well, we're here today to talk about something that should matter to everybody, no matter what their political persuasion is. David, redistricting because of the sentence. The census has radically changed, or will radically change, the political makeup of the state of Michigan. Congressional seats, House seats, Senate seats. The problem is, you know, you kind of got to wonder who's now making the rules and who's drawing those maps, David.
Yeah, it's that time every 10 years where in Michigan the politicians get to pick their voters. And it should be the opposite. The voters should be picking the politicians, but when it comes to redistricting, it's a very partisan exercise. And this year, we just don't understand. I mean, the maps are coming out tomorrow. They're going to have committee hearings next week, and it's boom, boom, boom. And all this is going on behind closed doors, and we just don't understand why they want to rush this process. They have until November 2011 to pass these plans. And instead they want to wrap up the whole process in time so they can go on summer vacation.
Well, yeah, but David, this isn't inconsistent with some other legislation. In fact, we talked to Senator Bert Johnson just a little while ago, and he was talking about what is quickly becoming the failed pension tax that seniors have forced upon them. They're already seeing that there are holes in it, and they're already having to go back and correct that legislation. Could this, I mean, you know, again, this urgency, which I don't understand, because people are now paying attention, you know, may end up not getting them to the end game any quicker. This makes no sense.
It will be interesting to see with these maps just exactly how much of a hole they dig themselves into just for expediency in trying to achieve the partisan goal, in this case by Republicans, to make as few districts for Republicans as competitive as possible and squeeze as many Democrats out of Lansing and Washington as possible. When you look at, for example, the preliminary maps that were apparently designed behind closed doors with some of their corporate friends, have the congressional districts in Michigan designed in a way where you have one district coming from Detroit, the one currently represented by John Conyers. It goes from Detroit through the Grosse Pointe, snakes up through Lathrop Village in Oakland County, ends up in Pontiac. It's just a bizarre-looking district. Oakland County, under this plan, if this is the one that comes out tomorrow, would have conceivably not have anyone who's actually living in Oakland County representing it in Congress, because they divide it up into four congressional districts that overlap with other counties.
Well, you know, and again, we keep on saying if the maps that we've seen, so let's explain, there have been some maps leaked, quote unquote. Don't know who leaked them, and they all pretty much look the same. How sure are you, I guess it's purely speculation, of course, David Holtz, that what we've seen is going to be fairly close to what we will see tomorrow?
Well, it's really an open question, because the effect of the congressional map being leaked, and it was leaked out of Washington, D.C., is that it's caused quite a stir, particularly in Oakland County. Because of what I mentioned, Oakland wouldn't even have a member of Congress from Oakland County, second most populous county in the state. Kind of crazy when you think about it. So even Brooks Patterson has been screaming about that. So the question will be, how much do they go back and do a redo on those congressional maps? I think on the state maps, you know, the approach the Republicans have been taking is that you basically have two choices. You can, if you want to design partisan maps, you can try to create as many Republican districts as potentially as possible, or strengthen the Republican districts that you have. And it would appear that the approach they're taking is taking care of themselves. The incumbents, they're going to strengthen the Republican districts, and not create more potentially Republican districts by having some of them be competitive.
Well, you know, and David, and the Republicans, of course, do control the process. And I'd like to say that there have been hearings, but there have been meetings, because hearings would kind of connote that there's been, you know, public interaction. And actually, the public's been barred from this process entirely, and that's not necessarily the way they, quote-unquote, have to do this.
No, it isn't. I mean, there's actually been more time spent on feral pig legislation in terms of public comment in Lansing than redistricting. I mean, it's kind of crazy. In nine other states, they have a very open bipartisan process where a bipartisan commission or some other process that removes the politics from redistricting takes place. States like Iowa, California, Arizona, to give a few examples. But in Michigan, we voters have just been saddled with this this insider process that this year is going to result in voters being basically given districts that are going to be entirely driven by Republican partisan politics.
Well, again, it may all seem very confusing, but it's not really, folks, because you don't really know anything. You only know what we're telling you, and we don't even know what we're telling you is the honest to God's truth, because everybody's been banned from this process. But interestingly, Dave Holtz, there are supposedly constitutional safeguards that require that a lot of different factors are considered, especially minority makeup of a certain congressional district.
Yeah, and I think that's I think the approach that the legislature's taking with this is that the only group of Democrats that they seem to be working with at all are the Democrats who represent districts in the city of Detroit and Saginaw, because those majority-minority districts, if they design districts that accommodate those communities, then they're probably going to be okay in court.
All right. Well, hold that thought. We will come back. A lot more to get to. Dave Holtz, Progress Michigan, progressmichigan.org. We'll take the break here on First Shift. We've got much more to get to. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. What we talk about right now is critical. You'll find out tomorrow, especially if things don't go well, how critical that is. We'll take the break and be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes that slow going on 94 westbound because of an earlier accident near Little Mac. The accident has cleared. The backups are trying to clear for those trying to get down to 696. If you're on 696 west, it's busy into 75 out to Southfield Road. 75 both directions into 696. The normal heavy traffic there, although westbound always is slower. And an earlier accident, 75 north near Eureka, that has cleared.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain today. Our high near 75. Tonight, rain, a low near 61. Tomorrow, we are going to see sun and a high near 80. Right now, we have some of that rain, fog, mist, and 64 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Buying the right used car is an easy play with the Carfax Vehicle History Report. See accidents and service reported to Carfax, plus a price based on the vehicle's history. It's free at dealers nationwide. Just say, show me the Carfax, or visit Carfax.com.
This week for Father's Day, nothing will put a smile on Dad's face like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift cards for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
You know her as Three's Company star and the Thighmaster guru, but Suzanne Summers is also author of 20 bestsellers, including her revolutionary new book, Sexy Forever, How to Lose Fat After 40. Now she's done it again by exposing the missing ingredient to help women over 40 lose weight.
Are you over 40 and just can't lose weight? Well, it's more than diet and exercise. I've spent 2 decades working with cutting-edge doctors, and I have found the missing piece of the puzzle to losing fat after 40. This new information will astonish you, and I want to share these discoveries, so get started now with a free weight loss plan only available at Suzanne.com. On my personalized program, you'll lose the weight, stop fat in its tracks, and rejuvenate your whole metabolism. So if you're over 40 and overweight, you need more than a diet. This is the proven answer you've been looking for.
To get Suzanne Summers' free weight loss plan, log on now to Suzanne.com. That's Suzanne.com. Suzanne.com.
Wow, this Advance Auto Parts store is amazing.
Told you, and service is their best part. They have everything you need to help you improve your ride.
So how do I improve my radio?
Pioneer Car Stereo with built-in HD radio technology. And now, Advance has it.
Why HD radio?
HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound, no subscription fees. Pioneer Car Stereo with HD radio is the smart way to upgrade your car's entertainment system.
I'm liking this. HD radio in my car. From Advance Auto Parts.
HD radio. More radio, more value.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Progress Michigan's David Holtz, my guest. He's their executive director. We are talking about redistricting in this segment. Tomorrow, they will release, the Republicans will release their proposed settlement. And I say proposed, David, because this isn't not necessarily the final word tomorrow, is it?
Well, the redistricting is just like any other bill. It will need to go through the legislative process. Both chambers have to pass bills, and then the governor has to sign them. And then there's the opportunity for people who disagree with that to challenge those bills based on, often it's on the Voting Rights Act, federal level, or the previous, based on previous rulings from the Michigan Supreme Court. Citizens can take the case to the Supreme Court. What's different this year than it was 10 years ago or even 10 years before that is one party controls all of the levers of government. So the real negotiations are going on right now, I think, between the Republicans within themselves, within their chambers internally, and then with the governor, who can use his veto pen as a lever to extract some horse trading deals, for example, on the bridge, the Ambassador Bridge controversy, if he should choose, in order to get something from the legislature. So it's an all-Republican process at this point. And it has real implications, you know, for regular folks. A good example, I think, is according to the Gongwer News Service, one of the things that we can expect tomorrow is to see the battleground county of Macomb, for example, really reshuffled. And the way that they seem to be approaching that is really not good for democracy. You have a Republican senator, Senator Rocha, who currently is in a very competitive district. He keeps an open mind to workers' issues and other issues often because of that, and they're going to try and make his district a stronger Republican district by taking Democratic Roseville out of his district and switching it to another district. And then take St. Clair Shores, which is very competitive, goes back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans every time in the state house, move that into a strong Senate Republican district currently held by Jack Brandenburg, Republican from Harrison Township. And the effect of that is two things. One, voters really are not going to be heard like they were before from Senator Rocha because he'll be in a different district that's more partisan, and he'll be less open to independent and Democratic voters' ideas. And meanwhile, the people of St. Clair Shores are going to be bombarded with constant Republican messaging because they will be represented by in a strongly held Republican Senate district. So all those mailings and media messages are going to go out from the Republican point of view in an effort to turn St. Clair Shores from competitive to partisan Republican.
Well, and again, this all gets very confusing for the average voter, and I'll put myself in that category for the purposes of this discussion because, you know, you're going to wake up one day and you may be in a certain congressional district and wake up the next day and be in a very different congressional district. We are losing, by the way, a congressional seat, and we need to make that clear as well. Because of the census, because we have had an exodus of citizens here in the state of Michigan, Dave Holtz, we are losing a congressional seat, and some would say if that trend continues, we may lose another one. But for now, let's worry about what's in front of us. And what's in front of us, we're going to lose a member of Congress no matter what.
Yeah, and that's probably the least surprising thing that's going to come out with the maps, because everyone expects that Congressman Gary Peters' district and Congressman Sandra Levin's district are going to be combined into one district, and one of those two people is no longer going to be a member of Congress.
Yeah, and, well, you know, again, it'll be interesting to see, especially in that area. They are currently neighboring congressional districts. I'm sure that they work together quite well, and you know, Sandy Levin has a whole lot of cachet in Congress and is important to the state in Southeast Michigan. Gary Peters just serving his second term, I believe, in Congress, Dave Holtz, and so you know, where that goes, you know, who knows at this point. You know, and this is reminiscent, of course, of the last time we had redistricting. Although I don't know that we'll have the same fight that was between then Congresswoman Lynn Rivers and John Dingell.
That was a fight. And, you know, Sandy Levin, Congressman Levin, has been here before. 10 years ago, they threw his district into a district that was held by Congressman Dave Bonnier, from Macomb County. They combined the two of those, and the result of that was that we lost Congressman Dave Bonnier, who retired from Congress, went on to run a unsuccessful campaign for governor. But, you know, so Sandy Levin's been through this before, and it'll be interesting to see if, you know, whether he takes the exit route that Dave Bonnier did 10 years ago to allow someone else to survive or not, you know.
Well, again, it'll all be interesting to see. Do you know what time they plan to release this information? Will this be morning news, or is this going to, they have a press conference plan, David?
Well, the word is that it is going to be around 11 a.m. We haven't heard there's going to be a press conference, though.
Okay.
They'll post everything online. That'll be probably it.
Well, and I'm sure that Progress Michigan will be anxiously awaiting this information and will, of course, analyze it and get it out to the public, as you folks are so good at doing over at Progress Michigan. Very quickly, as we have a couple minutes left, let's talk a little bit about the bridge. We've talked about it before with Progress Michigan. The Republican-controlled legislature, very cool to the bridge. And, in fact, you suggested on the show last week that, you know, this is not going to go as smoothly as the governor would like people to believe. And, in fact, this legislation may never see the light of day.
Yeah, it is really developing into a big challenge for Governor Snyder and also the workers. I mean, you know, there's a lot of folks that really want to see this bridge built for a lot of reasons, and one of them are people who build things. You know, that would improve their situation. But we even saw in the hearing yesterday in the Senate, tough questions coming from Senator Virgil Smith of Detroit, which makes you wonder what's going on with Matty Maroon, and maybe he's trying to influence the Democrats now to cause trouble for the governor. So I think the governor's got his hands full.
All right, David Holtz, I want to thank you, as always, for giving so generously of your time. ProgressMichigan.org, again, the website. Find them on Facebook at Progress Michigan as well. And we'll look forward to visiting with you again next week, Dave.
See you then, Tony.
All right, my pleasure. We'll take a quick break here. Brian Dickerson from the Detroit Free Press. When we continue, Mayor Bing. Wow, where do we even start? Well, we'll get to that on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. All morning we've been dealing with the slowdowns on 94 westbound near Little Mac from that earlier accident and the big backups. Looks like that has finally cleared. Orchard Lake has been a problem southbound near 12 Mile because of a very early morning bus fire, and the cleanup and all of that has been affecting southbound Orchard Lake at near 12. 75 south coming in, 14 down to about 9 Mile. The Reuther West, seeing the worst of it as you're coming in towards 75 and out towards Southfield Road.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain today. Our high near 75. Tonight, rain. A low near 61. Tomorrow, we are going to see sun and a high near 80. Right now, we have some of that rain, fog, mist, and 64 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Battle of Blair Mountain was commemorated recently by a 50-mile march and rally in West Virginia. That battle was the largest armed confrontation in U.S. history between workers and corporate gun thugs.
Solidarity forever.
As marchers set off on the five-day trek to Blair Mountain, a retired miner proudly held aloft a sign representing United Mine Workers of America, Local 1440. Its 1,200 members endorsed the march and rally to save a critical piece of labor history. The battlefield along the mountain ridge is where, in 1921, thousands of miners fighting for the right to join the union confronted coal company security forces and county sheriffs allied with the coal barons. Although national UMWA leaders support preserving the battlefield, they did not endorse the march. Chuck Keeney is the great-grandson of Frank Keeney, a mine workers' leader from 1917 to 1924, who was at the Battle of Blair Mountain. He says the miners' fight for collective bargaining rights, which was not won until more than a decade after the battle, was a key demand.
This is where people laid the groundwork for an American middle class, you know, for weekends, for 40-hour work weeks. And if you think labor organizations aren't important now, look at Wisconsin, look at Michigan, look at all of the things that's happening. These issues are incredibly important, and Blair Mountain is a place where people can rally to that and see that labor is something that's vitally important to the economic prosperity of the United States.
On Blair Mountain, West Virginia, I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Workers Independent News.
As WIN's Lauren Schmidt reports, there's a people's alternative to the Republican take from the workers to give to the rich Wisconsin state budget. The People's Rights Campaign and the Labor Community Network marched to Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch's office to demand accessibility to their house, decrying Hipsch as a public menace for crushing the public's right to assemble.
The campaign delivered their demands that DOA secretaries stop the attacks and open the Capitol.
We're a part of the People's Rights Campaign, which is really talking about putting forward an alternative agenda. That we reject this budget and that cuts are the only answer. Cuts are not the answer to the budget crisis. We need to look at making sure the corporations and the rich are paying their fair share. And we need to talk about demanding education, making sure there's good jobs, providing health care for people in this really difficult time. They're taking Wisconsin in the wrong direction, and we're looking at really turning things around and making sure that we put forward our own agenda that's about people and people's rights and not about profits for corporations and Wall Street.
How do you solve a deficit? Tax, tax, tax the rich!
Pacifica Radio called it riveting. Get your copy of WIN's one-hour documentary, This is What Democracy Looks Like, Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
35 minutes after the hour, and so it goes and so it goes. So let me set this up for you the best I can, and certainly we're going to throw it out there for calls as well. But Mayor Dave Bing, over the last few weeks, has been making the news for some notorious reasons, and I'm not quite sure. And one of the problems I've had with Dave Bing for a while now is he's way too quiet. He's not a very public figure, and, you know, and I get that at some level he's the mayor and he's got a lot going on and he's trying to run things differently. And again, we talk about, you know, style of management and so on and so forth. Yet there's some controversy surrounds that. Then we see a great deal of his staff resign over the last 30 to 60 days, 90 days, 30 different members of his staff, including a deputy mayor that was not only quite popular, but I understand quite effective. And I don't quite get, you know, why all this is going on. And then you start looking at some of the, you know, the deeper information. Then it becomes common knowledge. The mayor is being sued, by the way, by a former aide who says that it isn't the mayor that's the problem. It's his communications director. And this is starting to get surreal. And unfortunately, in a way that is going to make lots of Detroiters uncomfortable. It's just very, very disturbing. And where's all this headed? Well, I don't know, but we're certainly keeping an eye. Joining us now is Brian Dickerson from the Detroit Free Press, one of my favorite columnists. In fact, I jokingly say on Sundays he does all my show prep because I love the stuff that he does for me. Yesterday's Free Press, and you'll still find it at freep.com, whistleblowers' accusations against being more ominous than a sex scandal, and certainly got my attention. Brian Dickerson, welcome to First Shift. A pleasure to have you on this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned for the reasons that most of us would be concerned. And at this point, are we talking just allegations, Brian Dickerson, or are we seeing a path that's leading us down what may be potentially a legal quagmire once again?
I don't think the lawsuit or the city's liability in the lawsuit is a serious problem. The labor lawyers we've talked to think that the plaintiff doesn't have a very substantial claim against the city. The problem is completely political. The problem is that somebody with eyewitness access to the inner workings of the mayoral suite has painted a credible picture. We don't know whether it's accurate, but she was in a position to see and in a position to know. She's painted a picture of an administration whose CEO is not in charge. And that's a huge problem for Mayor Bing.
It is a huge problem for Mayor Bing. Now, Brian Dickerson, let's juxtapose that with the news that breaks that there was some kind of deal that was being brokered to make Dave Bing, either the emergency financial manager of the city and or the school system, the Detroit Public Schools. It seems to me that of all the things Mayor Bing didn't need, these would probably be two at the top of his list, making him, a further suspect.
Well, I'm not. I speculated that such discussions were going on back in February or March, and I do not find it astonishing or especially troubling that the governor of Michigan and the mayor of Detroit were talking about all the contingencies that they could face regarding Detroit's governance insolvency. I think it would have been irresponsible for them not to talk about what happens if we need to appoint an emergency manager who would be up to that job. What is damning about the picture Ms. Collins paints in her lawsuit is the suggestion that a subordinate sort of pulled the plug on whatever discussions or plans were underway for political purposes. And then engineered the sacrifice of one of the mayor's most competent aides to make it look like he was a victim of political intrigue rather than the author of the political intrigue. So I'm guess more troubled by the assertion that all of this was going on and he was not running the show then by the assertion that he was.
All right, and Brian Dickerson, as we take a look at this, certain keywords kind of make themselves more obvious. Competency, intent would be two of these words. Karen Dumas, who is the central character in this drama, if you will, is certainly not a political operative, certainly has no background. And, so if this is who the mayor supposedly is taking orders from, and that's the way that I'm led to believe based on what I've read, which is the lawsuit, and the PDF, by the way, is available at freep.com. Your column, Stephen Henderson's column this morning, and you begin to wonder as some of these keywords begin to make themselves more prominent and more prevalent, at a time when this city is struggling at so many different levels, this mayor still is having a very difficult time with the city council. We don't have a clear budget picture in place yet, not to mention the fact that, today there's going to be a massive rally to support the Katherine Ferguson Academy. Brian Dickerson, everywhere we turn, this mayor doesn't seem to be winning the hearts or the minds of Detroiters. This is problematic for moving the city forward, don't you think?
Well, it is, and in fairness to Dave Bing, I'm not sure the man exists in America, or woman, who can attack this challenge successfully on all fronts. It's a very, very difficult job. And I should also say that I don't know exactly what goes on in the mayoral suite. I know Dave Bing a little bit. I have trouble swallowing the scenario where he's taking marching orders from his communications chief. What is clear to me is that he's sort of a top-down manager, and he'd invested Karen Dumas with a great deal of authority, and that she appears to have had a lot of shortcomings as a manager, and those are now, he's having to own those now, and that's, he's in a difficult fix because it's hard for him to let her go or demand her resignation now without appearing to give credence to the worst things that are being asserted in this lawsuit, and yet obviously it's a huge liability for her to remain as his de facto second in command.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Dickerson, again, my guest, a columnist with the Detroit Free Press. Again, you'll find all of his great stuff at freep.com. You know, Brian, what does Mayor Bing need to do in the short term? Does he need to just continue to ignore this, or should he be addressing this, in your opinion?
He has no choice but to address it. As I said in my column this morning, the plaintiff, Ms. Collins, makes her lawsuit is essentially a narrative of life in the mayoral suite, and most of the improprieties that she describes, and some of them are just embarrassing, like the suggestion that the mayor blew off a meeting with Michigan senior senator to accommodate Karen Dumas's shopping excursion. If true, and Carl Levin tells us incidentally that indeed there was a meeting that was canceled at short notice. If true, that's embarrassing to the mayor, but it's not corrupt. Some of the other assertions she's making are more serious. The idea that the city's lobbying firm was leaned on to hire, with the fees that it received from the city, a second lobbying firm to sort of subcontract with it. That conjures memories of the Kilpatrick administration, and that is, if true, corrupt. But my point is that all of these are specific eyewitness allegations. This happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on this date, and I saw it. And you can't say, well, that's beneath to respond to that is beneath us. It's specific, and you have to respond to it.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, Brian, as I said very early on in the show today, you know, none of this is illegal. I mean, that, you know, part of what's problematic here is there's really nothing illegal. I mean, the lawsuit aside, and again, it's hearsay at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor's done nothing illegal, but that doesn't mean that it could not necessarily be damaging and devastating to moving the city forward. Brian, I want to thank you for giving us some of your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate it.
We'll have you back soon. Brian Dickerson, Detroit Free Press. We're going to come back and wrap it up on the other side of this. This is a very troubling story. Very troubling story, and I'm very concerned from a professionalism standpoint. As a resident of Southeast Michigan, we need Detroit to function, and we need it to function a whole lot better than it is. And there's too much going on that's detracting the mayor and an agenda that moves us forward. 888-552-3595. Let's take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. They participate in McDonald's.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Yeah, I want to thank Brian Dickerson again with the Free Press. If you don't read Brian, you need to, because he does a couple things that I like. He gives you a lot of information. He does his homework. He has a point of view, absolutely, and he has an opinion. He shares that with you, but he gives you a foundational reason for that. I'd like to think we do some of that on this show. We're a little more biased than I'm a little more biased than Brian is. But, you know, check him out. Check him out. And by the way, Stephen Henderson's column today, again, part of this is he talks about, you know, Mayor Bing's now judgment is under trial, and that's not something that's going to happen in the court of law, the court of public opinion, which is probably a little more important at this point as we look to move the region forward. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Joe in Detroit to First Shift. Joe, a pleasure to have you on the air this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, can Detroit be saved, right?
That's the question, Joe.
What's your definition of saved?
prosperous, profitable, anyway. Growing, you know, yeah.
Well, as I was telling your screener, Detroit is like a very wounded body. You know, where do you go first to try to start to save it? You have to have a plan. No mayor in recent history has had a plan ahead of time. I want to be mayor. That's it. You know, what are the finances before you go in? Where does the revenue actually come from? Those things are public record. They have to be made available to you. But I didn't hear Dave Bing address any of that. What kind of businesses could be brought in here from overseas, from around the country? You know, where's that team that checked all the places where businesses, you know, could start up? What are the facilities there? Railroad docks, loading docks, et cetera. How can we, you know, revitalize the port? How much federal money is available for whatever we want to do? But anyway, that wounded body starts with the police department. No one is going to live where they don't feel safe. It's that simple. And we've had arterial bleeding of people out of the city, period. And until that stops, you have to keep the people that you have in. You know, you have to try to keep what you have.
All right, so let's go back to the question. You know, we can define how Detroit can be saved. I'm asking you the question, in your mind, whatever that means to you, can Detroit be saved, yes or no?
Yes, but only if I run for mayor.
Well, then run for mayor, Joe.
You know, Detroiters, I've always known it was going to be my destiny to lead a lot of desperate people in a fight for their very survival.
Are you saying on this show right now that you're gonna announce as a candidate for the mayor of Detroit?
Yeah, but I'm going to need some financing. I'll need a check for $150,000 to get me going.
Okay, well, good luck with that. I don't happen to personally have that. Joe, I appreciate the call. Appreciate your passion, and I know that you care greatly about the city.
That's correct.
And, you know, we just have to keep looking forward. So thanks so much, Joe, for the call. 888-552-3595. Mark and Taylor joins us. Mark, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I wanted to comment also about how Dave Bing seems to be trying to emulate an emergency manager before he's been appointed, just like we have in Taylor, gentleman Jeffrey Lamoran, who went and became went to the training on emergency manager, and he laid off the 19 firemen, which you covered a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He also laid off nine police officers,
yeah,
and is threatening 12 more. I think they just want to stay in power and be appointed so they can keep their job.
You know, Mark, let me tell you, I don't know Mayor Lamoran well, but what I do, he was my kid's government teacher. I despised him as a teacher. I don't like him as a mayor. He is a power hungry scum. He cares absolutely nothing about the city of Taylor. What he cares about is making himself look good. He likes to position himself to be the guy. He wants to be the guy. Well, you know what? You want to be the guy, you're going to have to take the shots. I just fired one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we're going to recall him.
Good.
We're working on it.
Good. I don't live in Taylor, but if you need my help, you may just know I'm here for you, Mark. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-552-3595. Yeah, Mayor Lamoran and Taylor is bad news. Bad news for that city, who has a lot of proud residents. Lots of proud residents in Taylor. And they should be proud. They've got a beautiful city. He's ruining it. All right, let's get another call in here. And let's go to Bo in Detroit. Bo, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Tony? You all right?
I'm doing great, Bo. Thanks for calling.
I enjoy your show and the people that you have on, you know, especially Bert Johnson and Harvey Santana. They're all great people.
Yeah, they are great people, Bo. I'm
right.
You know what? I'm blessed to be able to not only share these people with you, but to have them in my life. I truly mean that.
Well, Harvey Santana is my representative. I live in this district, and he is one of the best representatives, I think, that we got in this state.
No question. I'm not going to argue with you. So do you think Detroit can be saved, Bo?
Well, I think it can be saved if we have progressive leadership. Unfortunately, we get these carpetbaggers and people who don't have the best interest. They're willing to sell the city out. Personally, I think the best person for mayor would be Kwame Kenyatta, somebody who has had a history of struggle, history in the movement, and somebody who can move us forward, talking about bringing in people, like the guy mentioned before, bringing folks from, you know, trying to get revenue brought into the city. It seems like Mayor Bing is doing everything he can to destroy the city so it can be under a financial manager, so he can probably take over and do whatever he wants to do and probably devastate the city.
Well, and Bo, I think that he comes from that school of thought that Governor Snyder comes from, that, you know what,
right,
let's just wipe it out and start from scratch, because we know that what's there is not working. But instead of trying to work with everybody and reform it, let's just eliminate it and start over. You know what? We can't do that, Bo. We can't start from scratch. City of Detroit's a proud city. Well, the city of Detroit's a proud city with a proud history. And all
Absolutely.
We need to do is work together. Work together and amazing things will happen. You know, we
right.
need to look up to our leaders, Bo. We can't look up to Mayor Bing. Mayor Bing, God bless him. I pray every day that he finds a way, but he's got to stop hiding who he really is. We know he's a Republican. Come out
right,
and tell
right.
us you're a Republican.
Yeah. Absolutely. He needs to find his way back to Washington, D.C., where he came from, and let a real Detroiter take over Detroit.
And I agree. And the other thing he needs to do, Bo, is he needs to turn his attention, and thank you for a call, he needs to turn his attention to AFSCME and the other unions of the city of Detroit and say, help me find a way out of this. Instead of fighting them, instead of fighting all these unions in Detroit, if he would ask them for help, they would have the roadmap out, including the Detroit teachers. The answer's already there, Mayor Bing. Stop trying to recreate the wheel. Stop listening to Rick Snyder. Start listening to your labor brother and sisters. Mayor Bing, you were once in a union in the National Basketball Association. You want to be progressive, then be progressive. All right, we gotta do it for today. I want to thank Dominic and Jeff for everything they do. Guest omelets tomorrow, Jeff. Guest omelets.
Can't wait.
I got the menu with me, and asked Dominic on the way home yesterday. We were like, you know, he grabbed the menu. We were going through it. Dom made me breakfast yesterday after the show.
Artie's a fabulous cook.
He is a fabulous cook. We had pancakes. It was awesome. Thanks, Dom. All right. I want to thank all of you for being with us today. We're just out of time. Lots of great stuff coming tomorrow. Joe DeSano will be with us, president of the Michigan AARP, to talk about the devastation of these pension cuts. I love you all. Be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some areas starting to see some rain, so be careful. Wet roadways could always be a problem, and it has been a problem. You have the Southfield Freeway closed between Grand River 96 area up toward M10, and with only one lane open north and southbound from 96 down to Michigan Avenue, we've been seeing some slow traffic. Looks like on that northbound side, especially the stretch between Ford Road heading up toward 96 and Orchard Lake southbound at 12 miles, still having problems from an earlier accident.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain today. Our high near 75. Tonight, rain. A low near 61. Tomorrow, we are going to see sun and a high near 80. Right now, we have some of that rain, fog, mist, and 64 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself.